InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
To the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I'll be with you for the first 2 hours, then Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, will be taking over the third hour, and then some guest hosts in the fourth hour as well. We've got some big breaking news to cover today. Just minutes ago, Donald Trump announces a ceasefire between Lebanon and Israel, with this Truth Post saying, quote, "I just had an excellent conversation with the highly respected President Joseph Aoun of Lebanon and Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu of Israel. These two leaders have agreed that in order to achieve peace between their countries, they will formally begin a 10-day ceasefire at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. The two countries met for the first time in 34 years here in Washington, D.C., with our great Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I have directed Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Rubio, together with the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dan Raisin Kane, to work with Israel and Lebanon to achieve a lasting peace. It has been my honor to solve 9 wars across the world, and this will be my 10th. So let's get it done, President Donald J. Trump." So this could be a big thing. It could be nothing. After all, ceasefires are a hell of a lot like a bacon cheeseburger. Hard to get one in the Middle East. Hard to get a real one in the Middle East, at least. And we know the ceasefire in Gaza has been an extended Israeli bombing campaign for a while. The ceasefire with Iran was supposed to include Lebanon, but Israel decided they didn't want it to. Now there's a ceasefire with Lebanon. The question is, does that include Hezbollah? Because that's who they're fighting. They're not really fighting the Lebanese army. The Lebanese army is kind of serving their interests, actually, withdrawing without a fight. It's Hezbollah that they're actually in combat with. So will Hezbollah accept the ceasefire negotiated by the Lebanese government, or will Israel continue to bomb quote-unquote Hezbollah positions, saying, well, we're not bombing Lebanon, we're just bombing Hezbollah. We're helping you deal with your terrorism problem by bombing entire neighborhoods. So this is good if it sticks, if it actually continues. I don't think it will. Again, we're dealing with some like certainties, and I've got plenty of videos talking about this because a lot of other people are now kind of waking up to this reality or expressing this to a greater degree. But it's always been the case that, and I don't know, people are probably just sick of hearing me say this, but it's worth reminding you in this context, the entire point of everything going on for the last 2 years in the Middle East was to take out Iran once and for all. That's the ultimate goal. They will not stop until they achieve that. If they stop before they achieve that, then they're dead. Everything is gone because they've spent the last 2.5 years carrying out a brutal campaign of ethnic cleansing and genocide. They know that they're going to lose support worldwide. They have to become a superpower right now. They have to become a global or a regional slash global superpower by defeating Iran right now, or else they're screwed. In 5 or 10 years, with support from America will be withdrawn, and Israel cannot survive without America as its attack dog. So they're not going to stop. I don't know what this ceasefire portends or how it's going to turn out, or if Trump is actually taking Joe Kent's advice and putting restraint on Israel, as we could do anytime we wanted, if that is the American president wouldn't be, like, murdered by Israel for disagreeing with them. So as long as Trump can have the fortitude and confidence to restrain Israel a little bit here or there, then maybe this peace can last, and maybe the damage that's already been done from the Iran war can be as far as this damage goes. I doubt it, though. I seriously doubt it, because everything else is moving forward at a pace, including the lockdowns and restrictions and COVID 2.0 over this time. There's no choice, because they will just withhold food from you. We'll get into all of it here on the other side. Stay with us.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. The next 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. And you said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Please do follow us at InfoWars at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. And please do share the links and get this information out, as I plan to cover just a ton of stuff that you're not going to see anywhere else on today's show. I'll be with you for the first 2 hours. Mike Adams will be taking over in the third hour. And then we've got some great guest hosts for the fourth hour as well. Remember to support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. The news is so crazy these days. I can't even explain to you as I'm doing my news gathering. There are entire, like, swaths, whole topics of discussion that's easy just to completely forget about. Could spend the entire show just talking about the very mysterious and coincidental rise in explosions and fires at oil refineries or food production plants the world over, starting about the time that we went to war in Iran. The latest is that Australia's top fertilizer input plant is now shut down for 2 months. The Yara plant shut down comes as a quarter of global ammonia trade for urea fertilizer and explosives is blocked. Australia's largest ammonia plant will be shut for 2 months to repair damage caused by a power outage amidst a global supply crunch for the vital fertilizer and explosives ingredient. And so Australia, of course, has been one of the hardest hit by the lockdown or the shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz in the Iran war. And just at a time when they need every, you know, ounce of fertilizer they can get, they have some sort of power outage that shuts down their most productive fertilizer plant for 2 whole months. There's also another refinery explosion in Australia yesterday. It's been a lot, and I could spend the entire show on that. But it's the type of thing that I'm looking at the Iran war, and that stuff fades out until suddenly it's like, oh, right, no, that's happening at an incredibly suspicious rate. Then you have stuff like this that no one's even talked about. I've seen mentioned one time on Twitter, so I went ahead and researched it. IU biology researcher pleads guilty to smuggling E. coli DNA from China concealed in clothing shipment. So yeah, it turns out another Chinese student was caught smuggling a pathogen into this country, gone totally unreported, totally unremarked, especially in context of Donald Trump welcoming 600,000 Chinese students as part of the trade deal with China. In exchange for getting them to give TikTok to Israel, we get to take 600,000 students, any one of which is a suspect, as far as I'm concerned, for bringing in biological material, which seems to happen on a pretty regular basis. Again, kind of a big deal. Like, what are we doing here exactly? The ones that were found by the Chinese students last year in the Chinese students' possession were like wheat blights that could wipe out our entire agriculture industry. E. coli is a dangerous pathogen. This isn't like some dude getting caught with a knife on an airplane. This is terrorists being caught with biological weapons. What are we doing exactly? Why is this just being treated so casual? This is from April 10th. It was like nearly a week ago. I haven't seen anybody talk about it once. In Indianapolis, Yu Huang Zhang, 32, formerly a postdoctoral researcher at Indiana University and a citizen of the People's Republic of China, has been sentenced to more than 4 months in prison, a $500 fine, and 1 year of supervised release after pleading guilty to smuggling biologic material into the United States from China. As part of Zhang's plea, agreement with the government, Zhang also stipulated the entry of a judicial order of removal, which will result in his immediate removal from the United States to the People's Republic of China. He holds a PhD at the, from the Chinese Academy of Sciences. He applied for and received a U.S. non-immigrant student visa to perform postdoctoral research. According to court documents, in November 2025, the FBI's Indianapolis division began investigating suspicious shipments from China to individuals affiliated with Indiana University. During the investigation, FBI agents determined that Zhang had received a suspicious shipment from China at his Bloomington, Indiana residence in March 2024. The package in question originated from Guangzhou Sci-Fi Innovation Trading, and the shipping manifest declared that the package contained underwear of man-made fibers, other women's. Okay. Investigators found it unusual that Zhang was purchasing and shipping women's underwear from China, especially from a company focused on science and technological innovation. Okay. So if they'd been just like slightly more concerned with OPSEC. So like just instead of saying women's underwear, they'd written men's underwear, we would have never discovered this. We would have never looked into this. It was only because they're so unconcerned about being caught. They're so lackadaisical or casual about the, you know, cover story. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. Say it's like women's underwear or something. And the FBI just happens to be like, well, that's kind of strange. Let's look into it. Oh, look, it looks like they're smuggling E. coli into the country under the guise of sending clothes. But if they'd been just like, just monitors been like, instead of women's underwear, just say Pokemon cards. Just write Pokemon cards on the manifest instead. And the FBI would have been like, yep, Chinese student buying Pokemon cards, checks out, and just would have moved on. And God only knows what would have happened then, or what else is happening around the country right now. Who's to say? Hundreds of thousands of Chinese students, any one of which could be smuggling biological material. It's not like we can watch all of them. Yeah, so we're being set up for total and unrelenting failure. And again, this is just like one story out of 10,000. They just go totally unremarked because there's so much other insanity going on. But there you go. At least we caught that guy. Good job, FBI. Good job, us. Way to go. Let's just stop letting in hundreds of thousands of hostile foreigners into our country. Could we do that, please? We're not doing that. In fact, we are being betrayed by the Republican Party, who have now voted to allow Haitians to remain forever, because apparently we have to. We'll get back into that story in just a little bit. But again, it's like, I don't even know. We'll keep going with the Lebanese ceasefire, since that's the big breaking story here. But I'm telling you, there is so much news, I'm having trouble figuring out where to even take it. But as reported in the first 5 minutes, Donald Trump has announced a 10-day ceasefire between Lebanon and Israel. The two leaders of these countries have agreed, in order to achieve peace, they will formally begin a 10-day ceasefire at 5 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesday, the two countries met for the first time in 34 years here in D.C. with our great Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I've directed J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Rubio, together with Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff Dan Rosen-Cain, to work with Israel and Lebanon to achieve a lasting peace. It's been my honor to solve 9 wars across the world, and this will be my 10th. So let's get it done, President Donald J. Trump. Quick rule here. Quick rule change for you. You don't get to take credit for stopping wars that you started. Okay. Theoretically, you claim that Israel and Lebanon wasn't a war started by Trump, but when you're arming one side, when you're starting a war with Iran to facilitate that war, I'm not so sure this is the feather in your cap that you think it is. And we'll see if it lasts. And of course, we'll see what Israel does with a couple hours of time to bomb as many people as they possibly can. I can't think of another reason why it'd be delayed until 5 p.m. Looks like there was another Truth Social post the crew just put up there. I don't know if y'all can throw that back up. It's an addition. So Trump says, in addition to the statement just issued, I will be inviting the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, and the President of Lebanon, Joseph Ayoun, to the White House for the first meaningful talks between Israel and Lebanon since 1983, a very long time. Both sides want to see peace, and I believe that will happen quickly. President Donald J. Trump. Kinda. I mean, once one side wants peace, I mean, you're half right. You're halfway there. The other side wants to ethnically cleanse Lebanon, as they wanted to for decades, and are just brutally and systematically abolishing all life in the bottom quarter of the Lebanese landmass. So I don't know if both sides do want peace. I don't think they actually do. And again, the complicated thing about this will be if Hezbollah decides to honor it, or if Israel decides that, well, we can still keep bombing Lebanon, it's just we're bombing Hezbollah targets. So as long as we claim that somebody in the vicinity of the bomb was almost certainly Hezbollah, then, you know, we're not breaking the ceasefire, we're just targeting the terrorists that we're both enemies with, right? They would say to Lebanon. But of course, I don't believe it, I don't trust it, I don't buy it. But that's just me. I mean, like I said, unless he actually is taking, Trump is actually taking Joe Kent's advice and restraining Israel. But I don't know if that's totally possible. From Alan Fisher, Lebanon ceasefire announced after Ayoun refused call with Netanyahu. Interesting. The Lebanese president had refused to get on the phone with Israeli's prime minister without a ceasefire. So it appears that a deal was agreed on both sides and Trump decided to announce that. In a matter of hours, there should be a ceasefire in southern Lebanon, which Trump said he successfully brokered. It's clear that there have been talks in the Oval Office with both sides that have led to this announcement. What they're aiming for is to take it one step at a time. This is the first step, but clearly Ayoun felt that his call with Rubio, said that in his call with Rubio, he was not ready to entertain the possibility of a phone call with Netanyahu without a ceasefire in place. Interesting. All right. So, you know, it looks like some pressure being applied to Netanyahu. Of course, Netanyahu's an increasingly tenuous political position. But of course, when they say both sides want peace, that's undercut just a bit by the extremely aggressive and not very peaceful statements from the likes of Benjamin Netanyahu and others. Let's go to clip number 29 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu talking about a ceasefire with Lebanon and sort of dismissing the whole thing. Let's watch. He says, we have to stand firm. At the same time, our forces continue to strike Hezbollah. The fighting is focused on Bint Jabil. Bint Jabil was the capital of Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. This is the place where Hassan Nasrallah said 26 years ago, Israel is weaker than a spider web. We are about to take control of Bint Jabil. We are essentially about to eliminate the major Hezbollah stronghold. At the same time, yesterday I gave instructions to the IDF to continue reinforcing the security zone and also to extend it eastward to the slopes of Mount Hermon so that we can better assist our Druze brothers in times of distress. At the same time, we are conducting negotiations with Lebanon. These negotiations have not taken place over 40 years, for over 40 years. They're happening now because we are very strong and nations are coming to us and not just Lebanon in the negotiations with Lebanon. There are two main objectives. First, the dismantling of Hezbollah. And second, a sustainable peace, peace through strength. And there is one more thing, of course. Our American friends are constantly updating us on their engagements with Iran. Our goals and those of the United States are aligned. We want to see enriched material removed from Iran. We want to see the cancellation of enrichment capabilities within Iran. And, of course, we want to see the opening of the straits. It is too early to say how this will end or even how it will progress. Therefore, in the event that fighting resumes, we are prepared for any scenario. Pentagon approaches. Yeah, so this is another story from yesterday. Pentagon approaches the automakers, manufacturers to boost weapons production. They're talking to GM, Ford, and others about shifting some capacity. So, again, it's like you look at what's being said, and it's like ceasefire. Yesterday, Trump's coming out saying, yeah, the war with Iran's like almost over. Meanwhile, massive amounts of troop movement into the Middle East, just huge air, you know, shipments, just military planes in an endless parade into the Middle East. As of today or yesterday, the last American-occupied base in Syria has now been handed over to the Syrian army. All of the American forces have left that base, remaining in the Middle East, preparing for perhaps a new mission of some sort. We're apparently reorganizing our entire industrial base to serve weapons manufacturers and war industries. Yeah, I don't think this is over. I don't think it's going to be over anytime soon. I think this is actually World War III. I think they intend for this to be World War III, and it doesn't matter if you don't want it. It doesn't matter if it's bad for the world. It doesn't matter. They're doing it. They're doing it because they want to do it and because you won't stop them. So you can ask them, they'll ignore you. You can beg them, they'll laugh at you. You can protest, and they'll maybe pretend to listen out, you know, to your complaints, and they may even commiserate with you and have empathy and say, look, I understand, but at the end of the day, we're doing this. We're going to World War III because it's our plan, because we've been preparing for this for literally centuries, and this is the culmination of a very long-held plan to establish a one-world government by first slaughtering all the free-thinking people in a gigantic, devastating war that's so bad that all of humanity simply begs for a savior that we will provide in the form of the Antichrist. Like, that's their plan. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do it. Like, we can stop. We can stand up to them. We can stop them. We can identify the people pushing us towards this and throw them in prison. Like, we could do that if we can identify and recognize this intelligence, this information that would inspire action. But until we can get that going, I guess we're just going to go to World War III. I guess we're just going to let them take us to World War III, that is. And the way they talk about this is so sort of offensive and in your face. Wondering how far to go with this. Well, let's go to clip number 25 here, because this is Alan Dershowitz, well-known Epstein confidant. He was Epstein's lawyer. He did get massages from young women at Epstein's estates, but he kept his underwear on, according to him. So, you know, I mean, Alan Dershowitz, if there's one face you can trust, I mean, that's it. The man's practically a saint, as far as I'm concerned. Here he is talking to somebody about the way in which Israel and whatever this Jewish super government is that Alan Dershowitz is a key functionary of, how they plan on basically manipulating and handling Trump. And they're just saying this out in the open. It's completely insane. Let's watch.
The goals of the United States and Israel are different when it comes to Iran. And we see that in Lebanon, where Israel's feeling pressure from the president to tone down its attacks. And the truth is as much as you attack Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, They're still around. That's the problem. It's very hard to defeat them. But on the other hand, what other choices do we really have? That's really the dilemma.
We have to continue to fight. Hashem oz liam lo yitain. We have to remember that the Jews get shalom only through oz. And so Bibi has to continue to fight, even if it means confrontation with President Trump. Leave that to Americans. We will take care of President Trump. You know, I met with him over Hanukkah, spent a half an hour or so with him.
Let's just pause it real quick. Let's just pause it real quick. Let's just figure out what the hell he just said. So Alan Dershowitz, ostensibly an American, is sitting there going, look, the president of Israel has to continue fighting, even though they recognize, even though they're like, hey, look, we've done all this fighting. These groups still exist. We cannot defeat them by fighting, because the more we fight them, the more massacres we commit against innocent people, the more terrorists we create. So, I mean, they recognize, they know, they're like, we're in a system of endless fighting with no possible end. It's a feedback loop that we have created, that we continually generate energy into. And we're not, and there's no way out. There's no way to get off the tiger. You got to ride the tiger, right? And here's an American saying, yeah, you know, the president of Israel has to continue to wage war, even if it causes confrontation with the American president. In other words, even if it's bad for America, Alan Dershowitz is saying Benjamin Netanyahu should continue to fight, and you leave Donald Trump to us. We'll handle him. He literally said that. We'll handle Donald Trump. So here's a supposed American collaborating with a foreign power, saying you do what's right for the foreign power, even if it hurts America, we will handle the American president and allow America to be damaged for the sake of our real homeland, Israel. Okay, all of these people need to be deported or imprisoned or, like, jailed for treason. This is treason that they're openly discussing, like, bragging about. So let's back it up about 15 seconds. And just hear again, as Alan Dershowitz, Epstein confidant, old despicable pervert, talks about handling Trump. You leave that to us. The Jewish cabal surrounding and engulfing Donald Trump will handle him effectively so that Benjamin Netanyahu can wage a silent war against America and American interests as long as we keep Donald Trump firmly tied by our puppet strings. This is what he's saying, okay? If you don't like this, take it up with him. Let's watch.
We have to continue to fight. Hashem Oz Liam Oyitain. We have to remember that the Jews get shalom only through Oz. And so Bibi has to continue to fight, even if it means confrontation with President Trump. Leave that to Americans. We will take care of President Trump. You know, I met with him over Hanukkah, spent a half an hour or so with him in the Oval Office talking about Iran. He was very receptive, and I know that Miriam Adelson talks to him from time to time. I talk to other members of the administration from time to time. There's a lot of support for Israel within the administration, but it's moderated by the fact that, as you say, America has a slightly different interest.
Do you hear what he just said? Do you understand what he just said? There's plenty of support for Israel and the American administration, but as you just said, you know, sometimes there's different. What he's saying is, yeah, everybody in the administration wants to do whatever we ask, whatever Israel asks, only they're constrained, they're hamstrung by the fact that what we want is bad for America. But they'll overcome that with their, you know, blackmail or, you know, whatever. I mean, is it a surprise now that the Epstein files didn't come out? They've got Alan Dershowitz's name all over it. He's probably the one they're protecting, amongst others. So this when you talk about the Epstein class, this is who we're talking about. We're talking about his literal best friends and lawyers who are still to this day surrounding Trump like a swarm of worm tongues, pouring poison into his ear and knowing deliberately, like knowing full well and explicitly that they are disadvantaging America for the sake of the country that they actually love. Oh, but if you say they have dual loyalty, you're an anti-Semite, and you need to have your life destroyed, and you should not be able to have jobs anymore, and you should be kicked off the internet, and you can't perform in England anymore, Kanye. So I found that to be one of the most amazing and despicable and hateful and, like, jaw-dropping videos I've ever seen of Alan Dershowitz admitting that he was encouraging Benjamin Netanyahu to do things that hurt America, but that he and Miriam Adelson and the rest of their elite Jewish billionaire Epstein, you know, friend group, the top eight on Epstein's MySpace, all get to, you know, surround Trump and convince him to allow Israel to hurt America. And, you know, he says, look, the problem with this, you know, there's a lot of people that want to do what's right for Israel. There's just this issue that they're supposed to be doing what's right for America, and this is just totally bad for America. So, but we'll overcome that with trickery and rhetoric. Great. Well done. I think I've identified the problem. I think I've figured it out. It turns out there is just one source. Isn't that crazy? It's like people always say, it's like, well, the world's all complicated and you're just looking for a simple answer. That's why you like conspiracy theories. Or it's because it's literally all them. It could be one of the, like, I agree, it's one of these two things. Either it's just like convenient things. I'm as you may know, you may know this, I'm very low IQ. I need it simplified. I need it all very easy to understand. When you come in with all these complicated various influences and considerations that people have, give it to me simple. It's Alan Dershowitz and all of Epstein's best friends, isn't it? Is that it? I can understand that. I'm low IQ after all. So I need it very simply explained to me. Why are we allowing Epstein's best friends to get us into war that they know is bad for America but good for Israel because that's their real homeland and loyalty? Why are we allowing these people to even exist in our country anymore? I don't know. I'm too low IQ. I can't figure it out. What could it possibly be?
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's yours.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com. Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bunker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bunker town. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Get yours now at TheAlexShowStore.com. It is just beyond spectacular. Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultra Methylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexShowStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And the colors of the sea find your...
Our inbox is flooded with Americans saying they don't watch the news. They listen to our songs instead, since your media is full of shit. Let's keep it 100 and talk reality. 5,000 years of Persian soul, of poetry and light. You sold nuclear threat to every camera in sight, but our leader said nukes are haram on record clear.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You know, I don't just want to say it over and over. It's not even bragging, necessarily. But we do say on the War Room quite often, another appropriate name would be the We Told You Show. Welcome back to the We Told You Show. because we just keep getting proved right about everything over and over. The latest is that young girl in Dundee, Scotland, who was on camera with an axe and a knife. And, you know, to us, it was pretty obvious right away. It was like, okay, why would a 12-year-old girl be brandishing a knife and an axe saying she's protecting her younger sister? We believe her. We think she's the innocent person here and that she's a victim. Of course, she gets arrested and the mainstream media comes out saying, well, you know, this is, it's actually typical of Scottish people to be in gangs when they're young. And this, and of course now it's in court and it's come out that the dude was trying to basically kidnap or groom her and her sister, and she was actually defending herself against a hostile, perverted foreigner. So, okay, we were right about that, but it wasn't very hard to figure out. But then again, none of this is very hard to figure out. And I say this because if there's, yeah, here's the famous, viral clip that, again, shocking to me that anybody would, you know, be confused at what was actually going on here. But now it's been revealed in court that we were exactly right and that she was the innocent one, as always. Because it's just, you just go with what's obvious. I mean, all of this is just unbelievably obvious, I would think. But that being said, if you've watched The American Journal and then The War Room, as I've been hosting them for the last 6 years or so, I've constantly made Lebanon a central feature of our Middle East coverage, even though it, before very recently, was hardly ever remarked upon. You're way more likely to hear a lot about Syria, a lot about Iran, a lot about Palestine and Gaza and all these other places. But there was always this sort of unspoken elephant in the room. And it was Hezbollah and it was Lebanon. And once you start seeing things from the perspective of Lebanon, like if you are explained the Middle East situation from somebody who lives in Lebanon, a Lebanese Christian especially, everything makes perfect sense. It all becomes perfectly clear what's going on, especially if you look at the Lebanese Civil War and the conflicts in the early 80s that gave rise to Hezbollah. Like, it all actually starts to make perfect sense, the different factions that arise, who's helping who, how you've got the Israelis on the side of the radical Muslim extremists, where the Shiites and the Christians are teaming up, but the Catholics kind of flip-flop here or there. It gives you really interesting insight. And so I feel like we're constantly being validated, especially because I do a show called Moonbase. My friend Lebanon John, he goes by Lebanon John for a reason, right? His parents are from Lebanon, grew up in America. We were in the same classroom when the planes hit the towers in 9/11. And ever since then, I got a unique perspective from him. Helped red pill me at the tender age of 11. To understand, like, oh, okay, I see who the bad guys are in the Middle East. It's actually not all that complicated. It's not this, like, intractable realm of chaos where just, like, endless feuds continue forever. It's like, no, there's actually very identifiable political motives. The characters, you know, acting in this play are identifiable. Their motives are not, you know, hard to figure out. It's all actually fairly simple. It's just brutal and horrific. So I was asking him about, and the thing that Benjamin Netanyahu said about the spider web. If you were listening to War Room a couple weeks ago when Lebanon John called in, he talked about this spider web thing and said, if you see Israel mentioning spider web, this is what it means. So I don't have the exact story remembered precisely, but essentially Israel captured this area a long time ago. This may have been in the 2000s. And said, you know, Hezbollah fell into our spider web. Then Hezbollah did a counterattack, completely wiped out the Israeli forces, forced them out, defeated them in this war, and responded saying they were as weak as a spider web. We broke them like one would break a spider web. So, like, this symbolism that they're talking about, this is, like, stuck in the Israeli mind. It has been, like, psychologically torturous for them, knowing that their own insult was turned around and they were mocked. Their weakness was, you know, celebrated by Hezbollah. So it's just one of those things that if you're watching War Room, if you're following Lebanon John, it's like you're constantly understanding things in a way that the vast majority of Americans have no idea. They're like, spiderweb, what the hell is he talking about? This is why this is happening. What's happening in Lebanon is not a reaction to Hezbollah attacks. It's not a continuation of The war in Gaza, it's continuation of an ongoing war that has been waged against Lebanon for the last 40 years or so by Israel. And this is different flare-ups and low points and high points, but this is like nothing new, and it's not going to end right now. So it's just, it's that type of thing that you go, okay, everything he said in the past has come to fruition. I think I'll listen to him now about what happened in the future. That seems reasonable to me, no? It's just funny because we'll be just right predicting everything, and people can see that and will acknowledge that, and then just be like, but you're totally wrong about what's going to happen next. And it's like, okay, all right, fine. You keep saying that, and we keep being right. But fine, believe whatever you want. So this was the I asked him for some input into the ceasefire. It's pretty simple. He says, basically, the United States needs time to be ready for round two, which has got to be more crazy. And the only way Iran is going to give them more time to prepare is if they lay off Lebanon for a little bit. But round two is coming, and it's going to be way crazier. And I tend to agree. That is certainly the vibe that I get. Again, with all of the weapons and all of the personnel moving to the Middle East, the closing of Syrian bases to reallocate those resources to a forward position. Yeah, I don't think it's over by a long shot. And it's also been all but confirmed that the supposed pilot rescue a couple weeks ago, last week, whenever it was probably cover for sort of a last-ditch effort to seize the uranium and end the war on a high note that way. But that failed, so now we're backing down. Doing a little ceasefire, give us time to prepare, give Israel time to sort of repair itself. Because Iran said, look, when this 2 weeks ceasefire is up, we're going right back at it unless we have an agreement. And so America and Israel are trying to forestall that, forestall that as much as humanly possible. Syrian army takes control of last U.S. base in country as al-Shara tightens grip. And then we've got a lot of stuff like this. Senate rejects fourth attempt to curb Trump's war powers in Iran. On Wednesday, the Republican-led Senate voted 52-47 to block a war powers resolution that would have forced withdrawal of U.S. forces from hostilities with Iran absent congressional authorization. So, you know, this is what I mean when you've got, you know, we can blame this on Trump, but Congress and the Senate are totally abdicating their responsibility to actually declare war. That's their prerogative. They have to assert it. They have to be the ones to say, hey, President, you're not allowed to go to war without our approval. They're not doing that. They're happy to let Trump basically wage this alone and take the blame alone. But really, it's their fault that this is happening as much as his, because they have the ability to prevent it, and they're choosing not to. The real problem with this, of course, is that the shortages that are being created by the war in Iran are deliberate and being taken advantage of, getting worse, and no sign of ending. Europe could run out of jet fuel within weeks, IEA warns. Airlines risk imminent collapse as Trump's war spikes fuel cost. And the UK prepares for food shortages in worst-case scenario as Iran war continues. The U.S. could face food shortages, including chicken and pork, by the summer if the Iran war continues in a worst-case scenario drawn up by government officials. A government source told the BBC it was planning for a scenario which would involve the continued closure of the Strait of Hormuz and breakdowns in the supply of carbon dioxide. CO2 is used in the slaughter of some animals and in food preservation. A spokesman for the Department of Environment, Food, and Rural Affairs said it would continue to work closely with businesses to tackle the impact of the war. But this is what we've been warning about forever. This was sort of a practice run. I mean, how many times have we heard the people who did COVID to us, who did the lockdowns and everything? I mean, they've said explicitly that it was a test run, that it was a, you know, testing process to determine how the world, and Americans in particular, would respond to forced lockdowns, you know, limitations in their activity, restrictions to their liberty on the basis of invisible threats that only exist on TV. It was always a test, and this is the fulfillment of that plan, of that test. And how many times during COVID did you hear something along the lines of, I got sick because you're not vaccinated? And how much more dangerous and scary is the idea, I'm starving because you have food? And that's certainly where we're going. And with all of the problems in the UK that already exist, what do you think happens when food starts to get rationed? And do you think the native Brits will be prioritized by their government. I mean, it's their government, it's their civilization, spent thousands of years building up this very robust society that actually can plan for the future and store food in the case of, you know, famine and, you know, do all of these preparatory things as a consequence of the higher level of civilization they enjoy. Are they going to, you know, be rewarded and experience the positive consequences of that preparation? Or is all of it going to be given to Africans who arrived last week and brought nothing with them and are just there to steal things? What do you think would happen? I mean, right now, if you saw the UK government, who do you think would be prioritized if it came to a limitation of food on that island? I mean, things could get really crazy really fast, and they kind of are. Let's go to clip 24 here. As we mentioned, Australia has been one of the hardest hit by the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And now, very coincidentally, they've had their biggest fertilizer plant taken down and out of commission for 2 months in this all-important time period. And they're trying to put a good face on it. The Prime Minister here, Albanese, is celebrating the huge shipment of diesel fuel they received. This is being celebrated and, you know, treated as a temporary fix to the supply problem. Let's watch clip 24 now.
My government has secured an additional 100 million litres of diesel from two shipments, one from Brunei, where I was yesterday, and one from South Korea. This is the first of many expected shipments secured under the government's new strategic reserve powers with the support of Export Finance Australia.
Okay, so there he is celebrating the 100 million litres of diesel secured from Brunei and other places. Here's the problem. Australia uses 92 million gallons or litres of diesel a day. So what he's celebrating there is a little over 1 day of diesel fuel usage in Australia. And yet he's celebrating that as if it's a major achievement. That's a very big issue. Now, again, places like China don't have this issue because they didn't fall for the climate change scam. They actually still harvest and use coal, and they get their urea, the fertilizer, nitrogen-rich fertilizer, from their coal deposits. So they're not, you know, stressing about the lack of fertilizer. Western countries are. And, of course, the Dutch farmer protests over the last couple of years have all been about the limitation of nitrogen in the soil as they deliberately shut down some of the most, you know, productive and bountiful places like the Netherlands, which is the like second biggest food exporter in the world, despite being such a tiny country. And so, of course, they have to be targeted for destruction. Let's go to clip number three here. This is the International Energy Agency chief warning about what's coming down the pipe if fuel for jets doesn't get back online.
Breaking news to bring you now. This is from the IEA chief, the International Energy Agency chief, Fatih Birol, saying that Europe has maybe 6 weeks or so of jet fuel left, warning of possible flight cancellations soon. This is being reported by the AP news agency, saying these comments coming to us from Paris. So Fatih Birol, the International Energy Agency chief, saying that Europe has maybe 6 or so weeks of jet fuel left, warning of possible flight cancellations soon. We, of course, heard similar warnings from the boss of Europe's biggest airline, Ryanair, in previous weeks as well, talking about potential disruption through the course of the early summer. Well, as we approach mid-April, that would align with about June, according to these warnings from Fatih Birol, the IEA chief, saying that Europe has 6 weeks or so of jet fuel left, warning of possible flight cancellation soon. I'm sure the markets will be watching very closely the outcome of any potential talks between the US and Iran. Suggestions for two sides sitting down again next week. But for the moment, looking at maritime tracking data right now live, it's showing a pretty bleak scene across the Strait of Hormuz, where so much of the world's fuel and oil passes, very little activity, certainly no tankers passing through that strait.
So there you go. Again, the shortages are not a, you know, unfortunate side effect of this. In my opinion, it's central to the whole reason that we're attacking Iran in the first place. Now I want to go to a video. It's a little bit longer, but I was going to go through and play some of these clips anyway of J.D. Vance at this TPUSA event that was basically empty. As unfortunate as that is, Erica Kirk was supposed to speak there and canceled, apparently due to credible death threats, even though the Secret Service obviously is going to have the entire place on lockdown. So that's very suspicious. So this guy, I believe this is Eric Moutsos. Clip number 34 here. He asked, did TPUSA die with Charlie? So again, it's a bit of a longer video, but I think he makes some good points. And then he shows the clips of J.D. Vance that I was going to show anyway. So here's a little breakdown of the trouble that the Republican Party is in. Let's watch.
Did Turning Point USA die with Charlie? I think most of us knew it was going to happen. Is it happening sooner than we thought? You see this stadium in Atlanta? It's supposed to hold 8,000 people. So let me ask you, how many people do you think came with headliner J.D. Vance, the guy that's supposed to be the next president of the United States? How many people came Turning Point USA event with J.D. Vance? How many do you think? This is about 8 minutes until they started the event. And this is when J.D. Vance spoke.
It doesn't bother me when he speaks on issues of the day, frankly, even when I disagree with how he's applying particular principles. So the most obvious example is...
So let's hear a few of the questions that were asked to him.
President Trump multiple times called the files a hoax. The acting attorney general said Epstein shouldn't be a part of anything at the DOJ. If there are compromised government officials in those files, how can the public trust that this administration will hold anyone accountable when its own Justice Department is actively blocking the investigation? Given that, can you clearly articulate your stance on whether federal entities should have a formal investigation? Thank you.
Yeah. So first of all, you said the Associate Attorney General said that. I haven't seen that quote, but here's my view on the Epstein matter. Number one, the guy was clearly a scumbag, okay? Number two, he clearly had extraordinary connections both with intelligence services, both inside the United States and outside the United States, and also with a lot of very wealthy and powerful people, okay? Number three, I have been a firm advocate and will continue to be a firm advocate of where we have something. And you know, like, I'm probably more obsessed with this than most officials, okay? Probably more obsessed with this than most people even in this room, is when you see somebody who says something in an email that suggests, you know, there's one email I read, and it's been a little while ago, but it was talking about, you know, one person sent an email to Jeffrey Epstein saying, oh, there were some really nice, like, pizzas and grape sodas or something like that. And I remember it sounded like the Pizzagate conspiracy theory, but here it was in like an email from a guy. And my reaction to that was, we should absolutely investigate that person. Okay. And, you know, you remind me, I'm going to follow up on that to see whether we've investigated that person, because we should. We absolutely should. When you see evidence of sexual assault, sexual misconduct, regardless of whether you're powerful or not, in fact, you should probably investigate it more if you're a powerful person, right? I don't want powerful people, you know, being involved in this disgusting behavior. But I have to defend the president on this, because when he said that it was a hoax, what he was talking about was this Democratic idea that he's connected to Epstein. If you look at those emails, it's like, you know, they were in the same, you know, everybody in Palm Beach knew everybody, okay? Like, the president has said he knew Jeffrey Epstein and he was a scumbag.
Listen what this person yelled out.
I certainly think the answer is yes, and I agree. Jesus Christ certainly does not support genocide, whoever yelled that out from the dark. He certainly does not. I think that's pretty easy. I think that's a pretty easy principle. Okay, so here's a guy, let me just say this. This is a guy.
Now here's J.D. Vance gaslighting everybody about the wars in the Middle East they promised not to do. It's just one topic that we can just disagree with and move on in full confidence in this administration.
Issues, like for example, I recognize that a lot of young voters don't love the policy that we have in the Middle East. Okay, I understand that. I also know that we've secured the border. We've lowered housing prices now for 8 months in a row, and there's going to be more to come beyond that. We've made America energy dominant, which has lowered electricity costs and things like that. We've made it so that we have the lowest murder rate in 127 years. I'm not saying you have to agree with me on every issue. I'm not saying you have to agree with me on every issue. What I'm saying is don't get disengaged because you disagree with the administration on one topic.
See, I'll take us out right here. This is what frustrates me. It's like, I was thinking about this. I was trying to come up with a metaphor. I think this could actually be a successful, like, sitcom. Because what I'm picturing is, like, J.D. Vance has been put in charge of a fort. See, there's this fort that the enemy had. And we spent 4 years in brutal trench warfare with very little hope of victory. But after 4 years of just brutal fighting and catastrophic losses, we actually finally took the fort. And we took the fort, and we knew that we had four years to get it prepared for the next assault. We know the Democrats are coming. The enemy forces are coming. We got 4 years to get the fort ready and to refortify it. And so it's like, all right, this year we got to rebuild the walls. We got to dig the moat. So next year we can fill the moat in and we can start putting the armaments on the walls. It's like, we got to get things in place because we got 4 years to get ready or we're all going to die. And so you come back a year later and you're like, all right, How we doing on the preparations? You know, they're coming in 4 years, maybe sooner. So, like, where are we at? And they're like, oh, we're doing great. We toilet upstairs flushes now. So we got that going. We're working on getting the rats out of the basement. They are still there, but there are less of them coming in. Okay. We've resawed the lawn. So it looks really nice. And it's like, no, where are the fortifications? Where is the preparation? What are we doing here? Where's all the people? Where's all the soldiers? They're like, oh, we sent them over there, to deal with, we're doing a favor for our friend, our greatest ally, Israel. We're going and doing some errands for them right now. Do we need those guys? Like, yeah, we need those guys. Why are we doing favor? Who told you? And it's like, that guy over there. And it's Mark Levin, and he's like putting explosives under the wall. And it's like, hi, thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. And it's like, well, that guy's clearly, he's sabotaging us. He's clearly on the side of the bad guys. Why are we doing this? I feel like you could do like an hour show just sort of in a giant metaphor for everything that we're doing wrong. So I don't care about any of that stuff. It doesn't matter. I don't care if the toilet flushes. We're all going to be burned alive. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Why would we be happy or satisfied with these incremental moderate gains? We're fighting a life and death battle for the future of our nation, and you're not taking it seriously enough. So we're not going to be satisfied with the minor improvements to the fort. We need total war so that we survive the next round of Democrat insanity, and you people are not doing it, and you're telling us to calm down and trust the plan. We're not going to calm down and trust the plan. You do it or things are going to get insane. What do you not understand about this?
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive. The two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the Alex Jones Show is on. We're going to move on from the Iran war to a bunch of other major news that's dropped recently. This is a former Pfizer toxicologist estimating the number of people that have died due to vaccine-related injuries in Germany alone. I'll read along here. This is the former Pfizer toxicologist giving testimony this week. Let's watch.
Pfizer's post-marketing
he says, Pfizer's post-marketing report spoke of more than 1,100 expected deaths within only 2 months after admission. At the latest, Comirnaty had to be taken off the market again. The Paul Ehrlich Institute received, if I'm correctly informed, so far 2,133 reports of death after Comirnaty. In these spontaneous reports, there is a high dark figure due to underreporting. The actual number is therefore much higher. In the USA, one assumes an underreporting factor of 30 with which the registered cases would be multiplied. For Germany, this corresponds to 60,000 deaths due to vaccination. 60,000. So again, they're extrapolating that, but they're basing it off of, you know, scientific process of numbers. In other words, they've done studies to show that only about one out of every 20 vaccine-related deaths is actually reported as a vaccine-related death. So again, they're not just saying, let's multiply this by 20 for fun. They're using what's been established as scientific fact in the U.S. and saying, we assume it's about the same rate in Germany since we have basically the same systems in place. Now, if we'd ever actually get a investigation into this, 60,000 might be on the low side of things, especially if you take into account stillbirths and miscarriages, which absolutely skyrocketed through the roof immediately following the rollout of the jab. And so if you really understand what I'm saying here is that the vaccine rollout was in fact a gigantic crime against humanity and a campaign of mass death, and the people who did it should be held accountable like the operators of death camps were held accountable in the Nuremberg trials. We're still in a world where these people have so far escaped justice, including the censors who wanted to silence us for expressing the truth about the vaccine. Let's go into clip number 10 here. This is when YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki bragged about removing information about the vaccine. Let's watch.
When it comes to vaccines, vaccine hesitancy, videos that cause a public health risk, where do you want to see YouTube do better?
Well, first of all, we've taken responsibility very seriously. It's been one of my top priorities. And with regard to COVID and with regard to vaccines, that has been a top priority for us. And we have a number of different ways that we address that. So first of all, we want to make sure that if there's information that violates our policies, we came up with 10 different policies around COVID. Then if that's a violation of policies, then that's something that we'll remove. We removed over a million videos associated with COVID.
Have you talked to the Biden administration at all about vaccine hesitancy or vaccine misinformation?
Well, we did an event actually with the Biden administration, including President Biden himself, with a number of creators, Fauci as well.
I wonder if there's anything that you see in, you know, the way that anti-vaxxers behave on the platform, if there are any data or insights there that could be helpful to people understanding where they're coming from.
I mean, we try to understand what are the different ways that we can break through. So we talked about in this campaign that we did about getting back to the things that you love. So what we really tried to do was get not just from the experts, but also people that, were not experts, but who were explaining, like, why did they take the vaccine? Why was that relevant for them? And what was their thought process?
So she's complicit in mass murder. That's what they're saying. It's like, how do we get into the psychology of figuring out, like, why people are vaccine hesitant? It's like, because it kills you, you absolute moron. That's why we're hesitant. The real psychology we need to figure out is why you people can't come to terms with that. We'll be right back, folks.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the Ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or something for like $40. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Reverend, Reverend, please come quick.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of The Alex Jones Show is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'll be here with you for the remainder of the hour, and then Mike Adams, a health ranger, takes over from me. And you've got some great guest hosts in the fourth hour. We're going to talk a lot about domestic politics, domestic news here. There's a lot of insanity going on. I do want to remind you to support us. The only way that InfoWars stays on the air and in the fight is with your support at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Your one-stop shop for InfoWars branded merchandise that will soon be unavailable and collector's items. So make sure to get anything branded InfoWars now while you still can. We also have massive sale on Ultramethylene Red, which is a total game changer if you've never taken it before. It's a rapid absorption liquid nootropic built to fire up your brain and body with bioavailable nutrients your system can actually use. This precision formula is designed to support methylation, mitochondrial energy, mental clarity and focus, synaptic growth, and long-term brain resilience. And you can get it now for a staggering 72% off. Locked in for life as long as you are subscribed. So if you subscribe to Ultramethylene Blue and get your monthly delivery, not only will we make sure we have it in case we sell out, yours will still be available, but you're getting it for 72% off. However, that's only available for the first 1,000 subscriptions. So go now if you want to take advantage of 72% off Ultramethylene Red. You can also get the InfoWars Cooler Bundle. That's still available and on sale for $79.99. VIP members pay $63.99. So that's 60% off for regular people, for the peasants out there, the normies. But if you're a super special elite VIP member genius, then you get it for even less, for like more than half off, like 70% off or something. It's just, it's extremely affordable and well worth it. If it was just the cooler alone, but of course it comes with the koozies and the sunglasses, all branded with InfoWars, as again, these will not be around for very much longer. Okay, so I'm going to get into domestic news here today, or in this segment, and then I'll move on to sort of what's happening in the UK and Ireland I spent a while talking to Rob Dew yesterday on the War Room about Ireland, but the UK is popping off again. Yet again, we see an instance of migrant brutal assault against the native British being covered up by and covered for by the police there. We'll get into that in just a little bit, but I have a rather disappointing, rather black-pilling update for you. Again, this is the type of news I don't even like delivering because if you're like me, this will make your mood dark for the next little while. But we have just heard that charges have not been filed against the suspected individuals seen assaulting Turning Point USA journalist Savannah Hernandez. So despite these people being on camera plotting the attack, then carrying out the attack on an innocent person, not bothering anybody, and actually engaged in First Amendment protected journalism, assaulting her, giving her a concussion, and just, you know, brutally committing an act of terrorism against her, will not be charged. Apparently, Paige Ostrusko, Chris Ostrusko, and Paige's boyfriend have been charged with just misdemeanors. Savannah is suffering from a concussion, two sprains, and multiple bruises as a result of the assault. Hernandez was assaulted by at least six people during Saturday's protest. Diana Ostrusko, the mother, has not been charged, even though the video appears to show her making physical contact with Hernandez and refusing to leave her alone. Additionally, the two women were seen assaulting Hernandez with sex toys. They have not been charged. The Hennepin County Sheriff's Office tells me there's still an active investigation. Yeah, they got to figure out. They got to, you know, try to figure out if what we're seeing right now on camera actually happened. I mean, did this actually happen or not? I mean, it is on camera. It did happen. But I guess they're pretending to try to figure that out. Again, very black. To me, like, I can't really say what I think about this, to be honest with you. I think I put it as obliquely as possible yesterday. Because, you know, there's stories in the past. Like, there's a story, I should have gotten the details. But before the Texas Revolution, William Barrett Travis, who would end up being the leader who died at the Alamo, doing that great last stand, long before that, he was imprisoned by the Mexican authorities on totally, trumped up charges. He hadn't done anything wrong, but they imprisoned him because they knew he was a threat to their power structure. And so the other Texans simply tied ropes to the jail door, tied him to their saddle horn, and ripped the door off the hinges and got Travis out. And now we look back, and what do we say? Oh, that was terrible. They should have let the justice system bear itself out. You know, they really should have trusted the system, and it was wrong because it was illegal what they did, breaking that man out of prison. No, we look back and we say it was an illegitimate charge. He didn't do anything wrong. This was a tyrannical government trying to crack down on the freedom of its people. They were wrong to do it. Him getting free was actually justice. I feel like we could use a little bit of that spirit. The point is, it's not up to the sheriff or the Soros prosecutor or a jury of radical leftists what reality is and what justice means. Like, they are not actually the arbiters of what is right and wrong. They can choose on a political basis to ignore a violent attack, but we are under no obligation to, I don't know. Personally, I don't think we're in any obligation to accept their ruling as God's word. No, God actually exists. His justice is above human justice. I'm just saying, at a certain point, we have to ask ourselves if the justice system is even fit for purpose, and if not, what do we do about that? The Hennepin County Sheriff's Office tell me it's still an active investigation. They say our investigators are among the best in the state and are committed to a comprehensive, victim-centered approach. They work closely with the victim, review all available evidence, including videos, and interview witnesses to ensure every detail is examined. Okay, well, we did that already. I mean, it's all on video. You can watch it all from the beginning to the end. You can watch the people on the video when they don't realize they're being recorded saying, let's go get the whistle and go blow it in her ear as hard as we can. That would be premeditated assault, considering the fact that a whistle blown in somebody's ear can permanently damage their hearing and injure them for life. So people are posting the video where this woman is literally blowing the whistle in Savannah's ear as hard as she can, and Savannah puts her hand up and pushes the whistle away, and they're like, see, she assaulted first. Because again, they play these childish games of I'm not touching you, when it doesn't even make sense. It would be one thing if you actually weren't touching her, but blowing a whistle as loud as you can in somebody's ear is assault. Like, what are you talking about? You blow up and go up and blow an air horn in somebody's ear as loud as they can, deafen them for life, and be like, oh, but I wasn't touching you. You're not allowed to stop me doing that. Literally trying deliberately to deafen. There's a person doing the Vuvuzela thing. That thing can get up to like 120 decibels. They're incredibly loud. So again, it's just, Savannah told me that outside the initial report taken by the officer who ended up having to escort her to safety, no investigators from the Sheriff's Department have reached out to follow up with them herself. She adds that nobody asked her about her medical records or injuries. This is from Brianna Morello, and she says, I will be submitting this information on her behalf, even though it has not been requested. I'm telling you, folks, if anything ever happens to you, you better pray you have Brianna Morello as your friend. She does not let things go. I'm just saying, if anything ever happens to me, Brianna Morello is in charge of the investigation, okay? All right. She's an attack dog, and it's wonderful to see. So hopefully she'll get to the bottom of it. Hopefully there will be federal charges. Hopefully there will be state charges. But I'm not putting a lot of hope in that. And it really just is another instance, another reminder that at this point, functionally, violence against right-wingers is considered legal, essentially. And again, just brings up all the other stuff with Savannah talking about going to places and people finding out she works for TPUSA and immediately just going up being like, Charlie deserved it, and you're next. Like, just brutal and just remembering how even, like, normal, decent people that I know in my life were just like, yeah, well, Charlie Kirk, you know, maybe you shouldn't have said those things, you know? Maybe he deserved it. And it's just like, yeah, we got a real, like, real sickness in this country that we gotta fix. And this story, I can't believe what I'm about to show you. The story, the headline, CBS News, Oswego School District 308 parents claim summer remedial program targets all minority students regardless of performance. Okay, we're going to go to a local news report here. And I guess I won't really intro it. And I'll just ask you if you interpret this the same as I do, because they're going for one thing in this news report, and yet I get a completely different interpretation of what's going on. This to me is like the insanity of the American culture as it exists now in perfect relief, in a way that you just have to watch. You just got to watch clip 28 here. Let's watch the concern and the outrage about what this school district did. And then I'll tell you my interpretation on the other side. Let's watch.
Some parents in Southwest suburban Oswego are upset, telling the CBS News Chicago investigators all students of color were invited to participate in summer remedial programming by the district, regardless of how they're doing in school. An internal document we reviewed confirms those concerns. Investigator Tara Molina took their concerns directly to the district.
This is the letter School District 308 sent to some parents the end of last month, a selection and invitation for students to participate in the Summer Connections program.
It's a fancy title, a feel-good title, but what it realistically is it's summer school remediation.
Phil Torres's daughter is in advanced classes here at Hunt Club Elementary in Oswego. He says they were just told both of their daughters are on track.
My wife had reached out to some of our close friends in our neighborhood and asked, hey, did you get this email? And they said no, they had no idea what she was talking about. The only difference between our friends and us is they are white. And so my wife reached out to some of our friends that were minorities, and they said they got the email.
The Torres family immediately reached the district for clarification and transparency. Why were their kids being asked to participate? A partial internal document the CBS News Chicago investigators received via a source reveals the answer. Eligible and at-risk students include, quote, anyone with a race other than white.
That hurts. Excuse me. I fight for my kids. I fight against stereotypes. I have 3 degrees myself. I'm the first in my family to graduate college. And for them to do this, it opens up old wounds. And it hurts that if that's what they use, that anybody that's non-white is at risk.
In the days following the invitation, parents received emails from the district detailing the invitation aligned with, quote, federal Title I guidelines, and all students with various tags received an invite, like Torres's third grader.
And for her to have to overcome from her own school district the label just because her last name may be Torres or her skin may not be white is, it's traumatic.
I reached the district and the school board. Their response, again, heavily quoting Title I. Nothing specifically addressing the anyone with a race other than white verbiage, instead listing students in special programming, academically at risk, experiencing homelessness, and students, quote, who are part of a historically disadvantaged racial ethnic group. In a statement, the superintendent said, in part, quote, we don't believe labels define who our students are.
Okay, However, we can take it down. Okay, so that big bumbling crybaby, weeping about how this makes it feel like, what? Do you understand what actually happened here? What actually happened here is the Oswego School District decided to open up free summer daycare for non-white students. That's what actually happened here. So what it said is basically summer school is available. Yes, if you're remedial, if you need to catch up, then it's available for you and you might actually, you know, be required to go to it. But also, any non-white people that don't want to have to pay for summer camp or don't want to find something for your kids to do, they all get free daycare all summer. That's actually what this was actually a gift to everybody except for white people. Because think about it the other way around. Think about if every white person in the school district got a letter saying, we'd like to exclusively offer you a free summer school opportunity. We're not offering it to everybody, but, you know, we really want you guys in particular to do well. So we're something we're giving to everybody, but for you, the people that we really want to succeed, we're giving you an opportunity to really get that next step up. And of course, you know, two parents working, it can be hard to figure out what to do with kids during the summer. So this way you don't have to hire a nanny. You don't have to send them to summer camp. We'll give it to you for free. So like, this is what I mean by sort of the perfect metaphor, the perfect example for like how insane America is today. This is a program deliberately and explicitly, discriminating against white people, where they're openly saying that we want non-white people to do better than white people, so we're offering them something we're not offering to white people. Because again, they've just taken on and assumed and absorbed the lie that, you know, all white people are just automatically given a leg up in America, so we have to even the playing field by, you know, obviously discriminating against them. Just utterly backwards and ridiculous. But like, that was the purpose of this. That was the purpose of this. And somehow it gets transmuted into white people racist, white people bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? They have a program that's available for everybody except for white people to take advantage of. And then you have a Mexican guy literally sobbing on camera about how this reminds him of racism and anti-white racism because he's somehow interpreting it as the school district saying all the non-white people are dumb. It's like, well, obviously you are. It's like, obviously you don't understand what's actually happening here. you seem to be like incapable of taking emotion out of this and just seeing it for what it is, which is that they were offering you as a non-white person a benefit that they were withholding from white people. But you're so like, I don't know, your self-esteem is so low. You're like weeping and crying about non-existent racism because your race was given a gift that was withheld from other races. I'm not even kidding. A partial internal document the CBS News Chicago Investigator has received via a source revealed the answer. Eligible at-risk students include anyone with a race other than white. So it's like there's eligible students, and then in that umbrella, there's at-risk students, and there's non-white students. It's not saying the non-white students are therefore at risk. I know this is very complicated for somebody with 3 degrees to figure out. But yeah, they are literally offering free daycare and summer school explicitly because they're like, yeah, those white people, they'll be fine. The white people don't need help. The white people don't need a leg up. The white people don't need extra care and attention from the school district so that they can maximize their potential. Their potential needs to be lessened and curtailed, and stifled, so that the non-white people don't feel as bad about themselves. So we're going to give them extra resources, provide them a bunch of free stuff and benefits that we withhold from white people, then the non-white people are going to cry and say that's racist. It is racist against white people. But we're fine. We're white, so we're great. We're great. Nothing can hurt us. Nothing bad can happen to us. We don't need benefits. We don't even need the, you know, basic benefits of the society that we live in. Those should all be stripped away from us and given to non-white people because white people are just, we're practically gods on earth. We're like demigods. Like, have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? You know, the elves, they live forever and can survive anything. You can't poison them. They can see like 10 miles. Like, that's basically why we're basically elves. Okay. And we can't die. And nothing can hurt us, and when we go away, we'll just get on ships, and we'll go to the Undying Land and continue to live forever, because white people are just special angels like that, and we don't deserve consideration, we don't deserve, you know, help from the society that we built. We just need to be continually discriminated against, and then blamed for racism, because we're white, and white people can handle anything, folks. Anything. It's amazing. Just more evidence. Throw more evidence on the pile. Discriminate against us. Put your boot on our neck. You know, rob us of everything we've got. Convince our children to hate themselves. We're still going to win. We're white, okay? It's fine. Hell, you want to... This is what... It's like, you can try. We're still going to do it, all right? Look at this. A white high school girl named Mia Heller came up with a filter that eliminates 96% of microplastics from drinking water. So, what you know, the last thing that you want is taking some high-achieving white genius like this and giving them extra resources. What you want to do is deprive her of resources, give them to the newly arrived immigrants who don't speak English so that they can maybe build their way up to, you know, something not at her level, obviously, but, you know, somewhere mid-tier. What you don't want to do is give resources and care and attention to the exemplars, to the exceptional, to the geniuses. You want to deprive them, crush them. They're white, after all. Okay? If, you know, if somebody come along and done the right thing and put this girl in a remedial class, deprived her of her access to resources, you know, made her go and whatever, be taught by somebody who's speaking a language she doesn't understand. If only they'd done the right thing, then it probably would have been a Hispanic girl that did this, okay? So, sure, you can celebrate this as an example of white excellence, of a white high schooler on their own volition doing something that apparently has escaped the capability of every scientist and the biggest corporations in the world. They've been doing something else. They have different concerns, apparently. We have to stop her. We have to stop them, okay? It's bad. It's bad because she's white, and it's that exact type of exceptionalism that we're trying to crush out of our society here. The district and the school board's response to concerns from parents and direct quotes from internal memo, again, heavily quoted Title I, which is a federal program, which means they're using federal money to discriminate against white people, which is illegal, but it will continue because despite literally saying, and it's funny because they're like, they didn't say any race other than white. Oh, no, no. They simply said, people who are Black, African-American, Hispanic, Asian, American Indian, Alaskan Native, Native Hawaiian, or other Pacific Islander, Middle Eastern, Northern African, or two or more races. We never said not white. We just listed every race except for white. So that's different, I think. Pretty sure that's different.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly, with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them. I developed them. High-quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken Methylene Blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. Take 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Please Please make sure you're following us on X. After all, we are not long for this world in our current manifestation. We are sort of our cocoon phase. We've been cocooned for a little while now. We were a happy, fat little grub for a while, and then we got hit with the bankruptcy. We've been in a cocoon for the last little while, and soon we will emerge reborn as a beautiful butterfly. Perhaps some sort of deadly moth. We're not sure yet. But soon we will emerge from our carapace. Is that the right word? From our cocoon. And we will be bigger and better than ever before. But you got to know how to follow us. And I know this is hard for some people. I guess it's just how people's like media consumption works. No matter what happens in InfoWars, we'll be up and running the next day regardless. So, you know, if you need your Alex Jones fix at 11 a.m. Central Time, you'll get it. You'll be able to find it. But I was talking to a neighbor of mine, actually, who's a big InfoWars fan. And a couple years ago, like once we were kicked off YouTube, it's like a year or two after we'd been kicked off. And he was like, yeah, I just, you know, I miss seeing y'all. Like, I haven't seen y'all since you got kicked off YouTube. It's like, well, you know, you can go to band.video. And he's like, yeah, well, I go on YouTube. And it's like, that's how a lot of people are. It's just like, well, if you're not on this platform, I guess you don't exist anymore. It's like, you gotta be able to find us. You gotta be able to search us out. Of course, it's not hard. Just go follow us on X, @RealAlexJones. And you don't even need to make an X account if you don't want. Just bookmark the page and go back and check it. @RealAlexJones. I'm @HarrisonHSmith. Follow me there. @AJNLive. Follow @InfoWars. And keep up to date. And do share the links and, you know, like the content, and that really does help with the algorithm. So thank you for your support, your prayers, your encouragement, speaking out in our defense when people lie about us, because all we can do is tell you the truth and trust that you have the discernment to determine that. And, of course, you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. You support yourself as well, since we have the best products on the market at the best prices available, in addition to enormous, some would say, comically large discounts, like 72% off Ultramethylene Red if you sign up for the monthly subscription. Of course, even more off if you're a VIP member. And soon, official branded InfoWars merchandise will be historical objects, collector's items, and no longer available for purchase. So go now if you want to get them, thealexjonesstore.com. So we have a bunch more domestic news. I do want to get to the UK, but like, let's just drop a few of these. So I talked yesterday and have talked continuously since she got elected and even before about Abigail Spanberger, the CIA agent who pretended to be a moderate to get elected and immediately became a raging communist, passing the most inexplicable asinine laws you've ever seen, which we, you know, explained at the time. And this is one of the things about the modern world is there is no justifying what these people are doing. There's no reason for it. It's not helping anyone. Even things that you eventually could say are, you know, end up being negative, a lot of them start with like reasonable expectations or reasonable suggestions. Okay, you know, we don't want people to starve in America. Like, let's have a little bit of welfare. We'll keep people afloat. And then over time, it becomes this bloated mess where half the country is just living off of the produce of the productive half of the country. Things can go bad, but they might start with a reasonable premise. What is the premise for like letting rapists out of prison? Like, who is that helping? The rapist? I don't want to help them. What are we doing here? Like, who is asking for this? Who's begging for this? Who's sitting there going, gee, if only rapists were given cheaper bail, then the world would be right. Then America could succeed. So it's like you get elected as a moderate and you just do, and that's why I call it like the most asinine things you could possibly do that have no explanation and no justification, but they just do them. And the real problem is that a bunch of moderates, a bunch of normal people vote for this woman thinking she's going to be just a moderate Democrat. You know, hey, well, I like unions. I'll vote for the Democrat. And then, but if they're like kind of low information voters and just pick her because she seems nice, and then the media doesn't report on what she does. And so these people elect her, and then they watch the local news, and it'll be like, okay, and Abigail Spanberger signed a bill today, and everybody cheered, and then they move on. And they have no idea because they're They're not being told. The media isn't out there going, you know what Abigail Spanberger did today? You know who she's letting out of prison? Do you know what insane law she's made? You know, you, if you live in Virginia, you no longer get to vote for president. Your vote just is surrendered to whoever has the biggest, you know, population centers like LA and New York. They're like not even being, that's not even being reported on. So the people who voted for her who are low information can just think she's being a moderate. They aren't even being disillusioned. They aren't like, wait, I thought she was a moderate. Now she's passing all this crazy stuff. They have no idea she's passing this crazy stuff because the media won't report on it because they're a part of the cover up because they're also willfully engaged in this deceit. So here's the latest from Abigail Spanberger at Governor VA. Huge news for Virginia. L3 Harris, a global leader in defense technology and solid rocket motor manufacturing, is investing $1.27 billion to expand operations in Orange. Virginia's deep talent pipeline is ready to fill the hundreds of new jobs this partnership will create. The thing is, her husband runs the company. Adam Spanberger, lead software engineer at L3 Harris Corporation. And of course, that's actually a context note on X. Governor Abigail Spanberger fails to disclose that her husband is the lead software engineer at L3 Harris. So, you know, it's not just corruption in that she's ripping apart the very fabric of our society as governor. She's also making some change on top of it and giving contracts to her husband's company and just your classic old school corruption as well. Then we have this where, again, are the Republicans trying to lose? House advances bill to shield Haitian immigrants in defiance of Trump. House voted Wednesday to advance a measure that would reinstate temporary protections for Haitians living in the U.S., with six Republicans voting alongside Democrats to oppose a key component of President Donald Trump's immigration policy. So we have something like a tenth of the entire nation of Haiti living in America right now on temporary protected status that came with it an expiration. It was supposed to just end automatically. And we have to actually actively go and extend that temporary protected status. Then a judge came along and said, actually, we're not going to let it expire like it's supposed to. You have to let it keep going. 6 days ago, this is a Haitian man beating a woman to death in a random attack outside of a gas station. A mother. For no reason. But there she is. She walks out onto a street in America and is savagely beaten to death by one of these Haitians that we are now being forced to keep. Forever, I guess. Because temporary protected status is not temporary, actually. Although they are protected. And we actually look at the reality of temporary protected status. It's like Somalis have had TPS in America for like 35 years or something insane. It's not actually temporary protected status. It's literally just a foot in the door so they can stay here forever. It's what they label. You know, they label it with TPS to make people think, well, it's okay, it's just temporary. Well, it's okay that there's all these Haitians. It is temporary after all. But it's not temporary, so it's literally just a trick to get you to go along with it. Now, apparently, the ODNI, Tulsi Gabbard, has put forward requests to have criminal charges laid against people engaged in the plot to impeach Donald Trump over Ukraine. And I haven't covered it very much. It's came out a couple days ago. It is just another we told you so moment. And that's kind of what makes it hard to discuss with any seriousness, because as soon as it happened, it was obvious what the real story behind the Ukraine impeachment about Trump was. And we told you at the time. So just one of these cases where we know immediately what's actually going on. Was not hard to figure out. It was all very public and evident, right? Donald Trump becomes president. He reaches out to Ukraine. He says, we've heard that Joe Biden is engaged in some corruption there. After all, he was literally on video saying, fire the public prosecutor who's going after corruption or we're going to withhold $1 billion of aid. And son of a gun, he was fired. He's literally on video doing a quid pro quo, operation using American taxpayer dollars as leverage to stop a prosecutor looking into the corruption that his son was directly implicated in. Okay? It's exactly the type of thing the president of America is supposed to look out for. He is the chief executive, and one of his primary roles is trying to make sure that people in our government aren't selling American power to foreign states for their own benefit, which is exactly what Joe Biden did. And so he reaches out to Ukraine and says, hey, we heard you've had some problem with corruption, and this Biden character and his family and the, I mean, all of them, right? It's Pelosi and all of them. They all have kids that are working for Ukrainian gas companies. Just, it's just obvious pay for play. Just, so he calls and asks to look into that, and then immediately an impeachment charge comes up. From the incident that happened, we were like, oh, okay, got it. Makes perfect sense. They're being corrupt. They're making money and selling American influence in Ukraine. They don't want Trump looking into that because I remember saying at the time, that's the Ukraine is the string with you pull, it unravels the whole sweater. So much of their corruption is centered in this spider nest of Ukraine with the webs going into all these other different industries. They were desperate. And I remember saying at the time, because I kept saying this impeachment is a defensive move. The impeachment is not an attack on Trump. It's a defensive move to stop Trump from looking into what's going on in Ukraine. And it worked. And it worked. He started sending them weapons because that was the whole thing, is they were saying Trump is now withholding weapons, so people are going to die because of, you know, his trying to go after Joe Biden and this political thing. I mean, they portrayed it very differently, and it scared him. And so he backed down. And then 4 years later, we get the Ukraine war. If he stuck to his guns and actually said, no, we need to know about the corruption. We need to know about how Zelensky's involved. I mean, we could have prevented the Ukraine war if he'd kept pursuing that line of inquiry, but he was scared off of it by the impeachment, which was the point the entire time. So then we have to wait 10 years, and then it's treated like a bombshell. No, it's been obvious this whole time. So, I mean, we'll talk about it, but it's like, I got new stuff to cover. I don't want to have to go back and talk about the stuff that we figured out 8 years ago. It's 2018-19, right? I know it was, because at the time that, because this was a dual, I mean, this was a coordinated, sophisticated, and orchestrated attack on Trump. Because at the very moment that Donald Trump was being hounded about impeachment, every day there were new headlines about new revelations and new scandal and all this sort of stuff. At the exact time that that was happening, the future DNI Avril Haines was meeting with John Hopkins for the Event 201 practice round preparing for the release of COVID-19. Because I remember I was like, what, you know, I just wanted to know what was happening. Like at the moment that this cabal of world leaders was doing the Event 201 simulation scenario where they were trying to figure out how the world would react if and when a respiratory virus arose out of Wuhan, China and spread around the world, and how would we deal with messaging, and, you know, anti-vaxxers could be a big issue. How do we silence them before they get their claws in the minds of humanity? And so I wanted to know, like, okay, as that was happening, what else was going on? And you pull up and you can go to the Wayback Machine or whatever else, find that time period that Event 201 was happening, and every headline is Nancy Pelosi reveals new charges in Donald Trump impeachment. And it was just a total distraction for Donald Trump, another completely fabricated, non-existent scandal to distract him, to stop him from doing what he should be doing, which was going after Ukraine, or paying attention to the fact that a lot of the people around him and a lot of people of importance in America were getting ready to run a giant scam where they poisoned the entire planet and locked us down and destroyed Trump's re-election through mail-in voting. I mean, this was always the intent of all of this. It's not a coincidence that all these things are happening at the same time. Ah, yes, the procession, the holy and sacred procession of the fat dweebs and their utterly, utterly ridiculous and fraudulent thing. And like, they all know it's fake. That's what, I mean, it's just, this whole thing is just, There was never a genuine complaint. It wasn't an opportunistic hit job either. It was something far more deliberate, a coordinated effort. That's what the Federalist says. New documents revealed Democrats' plot to frame Trump with Ukraine call. After 7 long years, key documents surrounding the Ukraine impeachment saga have finally been released by the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence following Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard's declassification. They include previously unreleased interview transcripts with the Inspector General as well as related materials. They tell a story many of us suspected at the time, but which now appears even more disturbing and more elaborate than we originally understood. The newly released documents show a coordinated effort to frame President Trump over a phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. A manufactured narrative was elevated and then used by Congress in an attempt to overturn the outcome of an election and effectively shape the next one by pursuing impeachment over a routine diplomatic exchange. Inspector General Michael Atkinson, who should have acted as a neutral gatekeeper, instead enabled the process by allowing a completely unverified third-hand and politically motivated complaint to move forward. A particular note is the timing. The call took place on July 25th, 2019, the morning after the disastrous congressional testimony of Special Counsel Robert Mueller, which effectively collapsed the Russiagate collusion narrative. Many suspected at the time that this timing was not coincidental. It was as if one hoax had collapsed and another was needed to take its place. The new material strengthens that view. And it goes on, and you can read about it. But again, you knew all of this already if you were watching InfoWars. Like, none of this is new at all. And, of course, it's not a coincidence that Trump was framed as a Russian collaborator. That would scare him away from any communication with Russia whatsoever because he didn't want to contribute to that lie, you know, the perception of that lie. Likewise, they didn't want him figuring out what was going on in Ukraine because the plan was always to go to war with Russia over Ukraine, and Trump was interfering with that and could have put a stop to it. And so they launched the Russiagate conspiracy to try to keep him out of office, but at the very least associate him with Russia to scare him away from doing anything with Russia and to keep that as a constant sort of nagging awareness in his mind. Then he tries to investigate Ukraine. They, of course, deeply involved in the corruption in Ukraine, and the corruption in Ukraine is facilitating and in service of the overthrow of the duly elected Ukrainian government, the color revolution that basically placed Zelensky on the throne with the intention always of going to war against Russia. So this has always been obvious from the very beginning, and yet, I guess 7 years later, we're finally getting a hint that the truth is coming out. It's good to see. It's good to see. I'm not complaining. I'm just exhausted because it's been so damn long. All right. Epstein rape, gang rape. Everything we know as the attack on women sparks community tension. Large crowds of protesters were seen in social media footage throwing objects at officers holding shields following the attack on a woman in her 20s on Saturday. The demonstration, which had been promoted by Danny Tomo, a former associate of right-wing activist Tommy Robinson, called for police to release the descriptions of the suspects. So far, Surrey police have declined to identify the suspects, saying in a statement that it did not have enough information to do so. That, however, is a lie. We can go to clip number 13 here. Here's, again, people are like, it's shocking that the police are withholding this information. Are you shocked by this? Are you shocked by this at all? I'm sorry, where have you been the last 10 years? The least shocking part about this is the fact that the cops are covering up and lying about who the suspects are. Let's go to the video.
This is for the good people of Epsom and everybody else that's watching this. The young lady who was 20 who was gang raped on Saturday by men in flip-flops. They didn't leave a pool party. They were illegal immigrants. There are 4 of them. The police have put out a statement saying they don't know who they are yet. The police are lying. The police know this 4. They know who they are. And when they arrest them, they're going to turn around and say they're under 18, so they can't be named. The police are lying. Police can come and arrest me if they like. Now is the time for action. Hold them accountable. Illegal migration is killing our country. I'll do another video about that shortly. But I can tell you 100% the police know who the 4 are. The police will arrest them and claim they're under 18. And they're not. Don't be gaslit. The good people of Epsom, go to the police station, demand justice. And I'm not asking people to riot or take into their own hands, because then I would be held accountable. But what I'm telling you is the police are lying. And if police want to arrest me for stating that, we'll have a court case. And the court case will showcase they're lying. Police are lying. They know who they are. Four of them. So for justice for this young lady. And we have to stop this. We have to stop these politicians fudging with police and stop the whole cycle of a satanic group that are trying to kill all of us, the good people, invading our country, in Parliament not doing their job, pontificating about all the other things that are not important. It's all theatre. We need to make sure Labour, the Greens and the Lib Dems don't get in next election. It doesn't matter who you vote for, but don't allow them in. Allow them in, and we're goosed. We need them out. I don't care whether it's Reform, Conservatives, whoever it's going to be. It cannot be the Greens, Lib Dems, and Labour. Do not let them in. Police and Surrey, you're lying. Four men, illegal migrants, flip-flops. That girl needs justice. And we need to hold you accountable for lying to the public. Malfeasance in office. They have a court case coming soon, I'm sure. We'll sue you.
So there you go, Epstein gang rape. And of course, not only is the place where the gang rape occurred, by the way, it was 2 hours long. This woman in her 20s was victimized for 2 hours straight. And somebody, we can go to clip two here as B-roll real quick, because this is a video from UK Sploosh. And what they did was retrace the steps of the Epsom rape victim from the nightclub to the scene of the heinous attack itself. And basically what they are doing is showing that the entire route is covered in surveillance. Every step of the way this woman walked has a CCTV camera covering it. And even the place where the attack happened has a CCTV camera covering it. So it's not possible that they don't have these people's identity. They are lying about that with absolute certainty. I can say that. And that guy's like, you know, I'm not going to say to riot. I am saying to riot. I'm going to say right now, I think rioting is actually the only thing that works. And I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that because it's evident that that's the case. So we can go to the clip I just put in there from Alex Armstrong. Incredible how quickly riot police respond when it's English people gathering. We can go ahead and go to that video, play that as B-roll. And you can see this was the atmosphere at the British people protest. You know, they're staying there politely, but the police are there with their endless ranks of riot police and the riot shields, just hundreds of police officers standing there in formation. We can go to the next one from Russian Garbage Human, also similar look and with a similar title. This video is posted, you know, white people get the full on, you know, militarized response. Meanwhile, and of course nothing happens, right? They get condemned. Anybody that participates in the protest risks jail time. Anybody talking about it could be sent to prison for years over their tweets or Facebook posts. Meanwhile, clip 19 here, this is how Muslims react to police in Britain. Let's watch. So there you go, kicking the police car, saying they're in charge, driving the police out. So I'm not even kidding. The UK police are basically operating on a system that says if the population fights back and attacks them, they leave them alone and let them do whatever they want. If, however, they behave themselves and are respectable and proper, then they will be crushed because they don't fight back. There's a lesson in there. It's a lesson you don't have a long time to learn.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife coming back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in the stores all day for like $80 or sell for like $40. We'll be right back. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome, folks, to hour number three of the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I'll be filling in for Alex for this entire hour, and I've got some really extraordinary analysis information for you here about the economic ramifications of what has already been set into motion. So regardless of what happens from here forward, we, all of us in the Western world, we are going to suffer some rather dire economic consequences, even if there's peace tomorrow, which seems incredibly unlikely. I want to give credit to Dr. Chris Martinson also, who's another voice out there who is able to see what's about to happen with the world economy. And as I'm going to be showing you today a number of different infographics that I've created on my website, and we'll just be sharing them with you, that really help explain the implications of what's coming. The truth is that this has been disastrous for the world GDP, but we've been living in a kind of a buffer zone here temporarily. And as Americans, we are uniquely blessed with a really large energy supply that is helping us domestically, even though our own allies are going to suffer tremendously, including Taiwan and South Korea and Japan. And of course, there are major problems right now in Australia with one of their major refineries is burning up and their fertilizer plants are damaged and offline and you know, other problems. The UK is going to suffer tremendously. European countries are, of course, facing energy lockdowns at the same time that their economies and their industries are in a state of utter collapse because of their lack of access to affordable energy since the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipelines a few years ago. Also, on top of that, the petrodollar is in lots of trouble now, with Russia stating that all future energy sales to European countries will be carried out not in the dollar, but in the Chinese yuan. That's interesting because, of course, Iran said that for the ships that it allows to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, they have to pay a toll in Chinese yuan also. So the dollar is being abandoned left and right by all the BRICS nations and many more around the world. And as this is happening, oh yeah, there's an infographic right there. Let me bring that up. It's talking about the right now the warehouses burning down in America because people are so broke because of the money printing. It's not even that the corporations that hire them aren't paying them a living wage. It's that the dollar is collapsing rapidly. And because the dollar is collapsing, the wealth of individuals is collapsing. And because that wealth is collapsing, you know, the purchasing power of the dollars they earn, they're not able to afford groceries. They're not able to afford insurance or to afford housing or rent or to purchase a vehicle or to raise a family. And so they are becoming increasingly desperate. Now, they are lashing out at their employers by burning up warehouses. And I think there have been, what, 7 or 8 warehouses set on fire in the last couple of weeks. That number is probably going to increase, but their anger is misplaced. It's not the employer, it's the Fed. And as I've said numerous times online, if you want to end the wars, you have to end the Fed. And if you want to bring back peace and abundance domestically to the American people, American families, American workers, you have to end the Fed, which means you have to end the currency printing, the counterfeiting operation that is the Fed money printing machine. But Trump is insisting that the Fed should lower interest rates, which would only increase money printing. And because that's the plan, they're going to massively increase money printing by the trillions to fund a new world war. We're going to talk about that coming up today. A new world war that will target China primarily, will target China. As this is happening, gold and silver will skyrocket in dollar denomination, but the American people will become impoverished as their own infrastructure and nation crumbles around them. Trump is requesting a $500 billion increase of funding to the Pentagon, wants to make it officially $1.5 trillion, while your local roads have potholes in them and the bridges are falling down and the schools don't function and your society is crumbling. The airports look like third world country airports all across America. We're going to cover all that and much more, so stay tuned. We'll be right back in 1 minute here on The Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, and we'll continue right after this short break.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's yours.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones with Mike Adams. When you wake up in the
morning and the light. All right, welcome back, folks. Mike Adams here for the third hour of the Alex Jones Show. Coming to you from my studios, also in or near Austin, Texas. And, of course, I'm the editor of naturalnews.com. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for all your support of independent media. And, you know, I was just thinking the other day, and by the way, congratulations to Joe Biggs on having his prosecution completely vacated by the DOJ, and also to Stuart Rhodes. And I have said many times that those individuals who were wrongfully prosecuted on J6, they deserve $10,000 a day for every day that they were wrongfully incarcerated. $10,000 a day, absolutely. And again, and it's more than just Stuart Rhodes and Joe Biggs, but those are two that you probably know. And I'm so happy for them to be able to get their veterans benefits back, to be able to own firearms again. You know, they were wrongfully prosecuted. But guess who else was wrongfully prosecuted in civil court who hasn't had his nefarious prosecution overturned? Alex Jones. Alex Jones was raked over the coals in the Sandy Hook trials, as you well know, as Alex has covered many times. And that, I think it was a $1.5 billion judgment against Alex that was, in my view, it was a complete scam. The trial was rigged. The judge didn't apply the rule of law. Evidence wasn't allowed to be presented. And Alex never even got a trial by jury. Never got a trial by jury. It was an automatic judgment against Alex by a rigged court system that we now know, because of, James O'Keefe and some of what he found out,
This whole thing was run by the CIA, who put the jury in place and, you know, pushed on everybody to get the judgment they wanted to try to shut down InfoWars. Well, the fact is, as you are listening to this today, InfoWars is not shut down. And even if the courts order the liquidation of the InfoWars domain name or the InfoWars, you know, hardware for broadcasting, they can't take the InfoWars spirit. And if anybody needs to have their judgment reversed, it's Alex Jones. In fact, I think that the federal government owes Alex Jones $1.5 billion. But, you know, hey, that day may never come. And since it may never come, the best way to support Alex Jones right now is at thealexjonesstore.com. And, you know, they always have great specials. They're dedicated to your health and your nutrition. And I'm so glad that Alex understands the importance of nutrition because, you know, here I am as the health ranger and, you know, nutrition is what I live by. I've got my smoothie right here. You know, I'm out exercising. I'm using nutrition every day. And now they've got the ultra methylene red as well as the methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm not going to go through all the details here, but you should check those out. And that's the best way that you can support this platform because they're not going to reverse the judgment probably against Alex Jones. So shop at thealexjonesstore.com to help support freedom of speech. Now, let's get back to the economic nightmare that is coming for our world. Now, if you go to neoclassical economics, there's something here called the Cobb-Douglas production function. Okay. And pardon me. I got to put on my glasses to read my laptop here. It's so small, but the Cobb-Douglas production function pretends that all the main inputs into GDP are interchangeable. So they want to pretend that labor and energy and capital and technology are all interchangeable. So, and this is all old, basically Keynesian school of economics nonsense. Okay. But they believe that if you don't have energy because energy is getting cut off right now, then you can just replace that with like capital. So it's like, oh, hey, the power grid's off. The lights are out. Well, good thing we have extra loans. You know, that doesn't work. Your factory doesn't run without power. Your trucks don't run without diesel. Come on. It doesn't work that way. So as a result of their bad theories, and by the way, let me say for the record that economics is the one area of academia, well, one among many, but one of the primary areas where you can be called a scientist and you can win a Nobel Prize when all your theories are complete fantasy nonsense. That's economics, okay? Economics should never be called a science. There's almost nothing scientific about it. It's not like physics and chemistry and engineering and biology. Economics is just people making stuff up all day and claiming that that represents reality. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. Now, and there are some good economists out there. I'm not slamming all of them, but the old school economics doesn't work here. And the reason this is important for you to understand, not that I'm trying to turn this into an economics lesson, is that the roughly 20% reduction in global energy supply now, because of the war on Iran and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, that, according to these old school economists using the Cobb-Douglas production function, they think that will only result a 1 to 2% reduction in global GDP. So they wouldn't even call that a recession. They would just say, oh, it's a little dip, but everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to recover. We're fine. The problem is they're wrong because if you don't have energy, you can't do all the other things that make your economy function. Without energy, it doesn't matter how much labor you have. You know, without energy, you can't run the technology that is a multiplier for corporations and productivity and factories, etc. You need energy to power everything else in the economy. So the truth is that without energy, the impact is going to be much more than 1 to 2%. And how much more? Well, I'm going to tell you. But let's step back for a moment. If you go back to the 2008 subprime housing collapse, that impact on global GDP was about 1 to 2%. So that was called the Great Financial Crisis, right? The GFC. And, you know, we didn't go into a Mad Max scenario at that time. Thank goodness. That was something that we could all survive. And we didn't run out of energy. We still had oil flowing. in the subprime housing collapse. And by the way, if you haven't seen the movie, The Big Short, you should definitely check that out. But as that movie depicts, and as reality showed, we could recover from a 1 to 2% reduction in GDP. Now then, you fast forward to the COVID years, which we all lived through. The COVID years, starting in 2020, massive contraction of economic activity around the world. Everything was shut down because of all the, you know, the forced lockdowns, the shutdowns, the governments, the freaking concentration camps in Australia, you name it, right? It was insane. Oil went negative price at that time. I don't know if you remember that. Oil went to something like minus $45 a barrel, which meant they were giving it away if you could take physical delivery. That never happened before or since. But there was so much oil in the system. There was so much energy available. They were freaking giving it away. And all the storage was completely full because nobody could take on any more energy at that time. Well, that entire event, the COVID-19 event, the economic impacts on the world were about 3% reduction in GDP. Okay. So worse than the great financial crisis of 2008, not nearly as bad as what's coming, which I'm about to explain. So using modern economic modeling and understanding that understands the role of energy in enabling everything else, capital, labor, technology, etc. If you have a 20% reduction in energy, you will have at minimum a 10% reduction in GDP. And the real number is probably more like 12% or 14%, something like that. But I'm just going to say 10% to be conservative here, and it's an easy number to work with. So 20% loss of energy, which is where we are now, that's been in place for, what, 6 or 7 weeks now. And it looks like it's going to continue because Trump and Hegseth are bragging about how they've closed the Strait of Hormuz now, even though a week ago they were bragging about how they had opened it, so nobody can keep track. But it remains almost entirely closed. It used to be 120, 130 ships a day would sail through the strait. Now that number is single digits, right? And only typically with Iran's permission. So it's basically closed. So we are going to have at least a 10% reduction in GDP based on this, once all of the existing oil buffer in the system runs out. And by the way, when I say oil, I'm using it generically. I also mean other hydrocarbons. I mean gas, oil, petroleum products, etc. Okay, different kind of refined products, diesel, kerosene, gasoline, you name it. I'm just going to use the word oil in a generic sense. So what this means is that we are about to face, you and I, we are about to face triple COVID in terms of the economic collapse that's coming. Three times worse than COVID. Actually, more than three times. COVID, let's say COVID was 3%. We're looking at 10, maybe 12%. So let's say 3 to 4 times worse than COVID. And most of you watching, you lived through COVID. So you remember that. You remember everything was shut down. Heck, they even shut down the churches for some reason. It was hard to shop for food, you know, and they made you wear masks. They made you get jabbed if you wanted to fly on an airplane, all this crazy nonsense. That was a test. That was a test of obedience to see how many people they could get to go along with the new rules that the government was putting onto you through a completely fake, hoaxed pandemic. It wasn't even real. Now, it was convincing. It was, believe me, it was convincing. I mean, it had me fooled for, you know, a couple of months also. But very quickly, it became obvious that the whole thing was fake and rigged, and they were using it as an obedience test. So those were the COVID lockdowns. That was the COVID GDP destruction. Now we're about to have, like I said, 3 to 4 times worse. What do you think that's going to look like? You are going to see, wait, let me add one more statistic to this. Every 1% reduction in global GDP thrusts about 40 to 50 million people worldwide into extreme poverty. Every 1% reduction, let's say 50 million people, extreme poverty. Not just in America, I mean globally. So if you're looking at a 10% global reduction in GDP, you're looking at 500 million people thrust into extreme poverty. That's 500 million people. And by extreme poverty, what do I mean? Can't eat, can't afford food, can't afford clothing, can't afford a home, rent, shelter. I mean homeless, living on the streets, dumpster diving for food. Okay, that level of extreme poverty. That will strike America and other countries all around the world. So we're talking about thrusting half a billion people into that level of extreme poverty. What happens from there, especially as this closure continues to play out and gets extended in time, is that the desperation spreads. All the buffer of energy and oil and gas in the system and all the supply chain of spare parts, that all evaporates just within a couple of months, I mean, depending on the parts. But that mostly evaporates to the point where people can't get tires for their car. They can't get, you know, air filters for their tractor. They can't buy food. I mean, even the transportation companies can't get tires for their trucks, things like that, okay? I can't get lubricants. You know, lubricants come from hydrocarbons, of course. When you lose all the lubricants that power the diesel fleets and the transportation fleets, guess what? Yeah, you have a standstill of transportation. So that scenario is also coming if the closure continues for a period of time of several more months. So when that happens, then all over the world, you get this incredible gap between rich and poor, this chasm of wealth, where you've got the you know, the top 0.1%, whatever it is, that own all the media, they own all the companies, they make all the decisions, they fund all the campaigns, you know, they have all the influence in Washington, and they control all the media. I mean, it's just, right, it's just a handful of people who control like 99.9% of the wealth in this country. You've got those people, and then you've got the great masses who are impoverished and increasingly desperate and homeless and starving and dumpster diving. And then the middle class is gone. And what history shows us is that when this chasm becomes very, very large, which the left would call inequality, but they mean something different about that. Oh yeah, look at that. Are those scenes from Venezuela? They're dumpster diving for food. I don't know where that is, but that's going to be happening in America. You're going to see people chasing like garbage trucks, looking for lunch, things like that. So when the chasm becomes very wide, what you end up with is uprisings, social revolt, all of that. And then revolutions in some countries, historically, this is what has happened. And especially this happens when the people in charge are perceived by the citizens as being arrogant and detached. And I can't think of a better example than where we are right now with, you know, Carolyn Leavitt at the White House telling us that over the last year, fuel prices have gone down, way down. And you and I are filling up gas at the gas station. Like, what are you talking about? You're completely living in a fantasy world. Or Trump telling us grocery prices have gone down. What are you talking about? Do you not shop for food? Well, no, he doesn't. Or just the horrible visual of having that DoorDash grandma show up at the White House delivering a bag of McDonald's and Trump handing her a tip. Like, why are grandmas having to work into their 70s, apparently, in this economy, when this was supposed to be a golden age? People in that age range should be able to retire and live comfortably on their savings. The problem is their savings are being obliterated. So that brings me to another infographic here. So to the producers here, go back to that one you were just showing, the Real Arsonist infographic that I have on one of my articles on Natural News. It shows that the money printing is burning your wealth. And as the living wage becomes impossible for people to obtain, even though they are still working, then, you know, the fiat currency is funding debt and war funding and bailouts and corruption. But they're abandoning honest money. Honest money is gold and silver. That's why it's so important. But the problem is then the U.S. dollar, which is based on this pyramid of power and it's a giant Ponzi scheme, then that begins to collapse as more and more countries move away from the dollar. That's where we are now, and you are going to see a lot more people lashing out, setting warehouses on fire, engaging in felony arson and other, you know, similar operations, okay? So that's going to be a disaster. Now, the first story that I have there, again, to the producers on Natural News is that has an infographic called The Coming Collapse, and I just want to walk you through this one next. So The Coming Collapse is when you examine, go ahead and scroll down to the infographic on that, please. It's the energy, economics, and systemic fragility of the system. And this is what I was just talking about. You see that right there. It talks about capital, labor, energy, And then there's technology in there. This infographic isn't perfect. It's AI generated with a long prompt. So sometimes it has typos in it. But anyway, that's the neoclassical error. And the reality is that energy is the prerequisite that makes all of this possible. So if you scroll down to the second part of that, as I said, it's going to be more than three times worse than COVID. So you see the 2008 crisis, it says here roughly 2% of GDP. It's actually considered 1%, 1.5%. COVID pandemic, about 3% of GDP. The coming energy shock will be at least 10% of GDP will be cut. And then the bottom panel there is modern system fragility. We live in a just-in-time interconnected and highly dependent network of supply chains and commodities and rare earths and minerals and so on. That is going to collapse. And what it means is that, and this panel on the lower right there, the reason I put that in there is because, see, let me back up. The only time in our history that it was worse than this was the Great Depression. I mean, in history of anybody who could be living today, that was the Great Depression. In the Great Depression, we had a minus 30% GDP contraction. That was devastating. But at that time, the American people were a whole different generation, and they had skills that most of us don't have today. At that time, you know, maybe it was your great-grandparents or grandparents or whatever generation it was. They knew how to do things, right? They knew how to fix their shoes and mend their clothes, and they knew how to grow food and can food. And they didn't depend as much on centralized systems. They could do things themselves. They could raise chickens, you know, they could raise cattle. They were more self-reliant than we are today. It's not even close, right? Today we are more dependent on the system than at any time, any previous generation in America's history. So even though the people in the Great Depression, they made it through. They suffered, but they made it through because they knew how to do things. They knew how to live off the land. We don't know that today. Most of our population lives in cities. Most of the people in our country, not you watching this because, you know, you're practical. You're well educated about how to do things in the real world, but most people don't know how to change a tire on a car. I'm serious. And some people wouldn't know what to do if you handed them a pencil sharpener. Like, what is that? You know, their whole world exists on their mobile phones, and that's all they know is what's digital. The only things that they can do with their hands are type in messages and likes and things like that. And that's it. They don't know how to build a fence. They don't know what is an H brace on a fence. You know, they don't know how to keep cattle in. They don't know how to repair barbed wire, right? They don't know how to fix a tractor. They don't know how to do any of these things. And so when this economic collapse hits, and it's incoming right now, when this hits, or maybe I should call it a contraction, not a collapse, this is going to be more devastating to the American people than the Great Depression in terms of the desperation, because people don't grow their own food for the most part today. And very few people are preppers out there. You know, again, the exception is this audience. You're well prepared. You know, you've been getting prepared for a long time, but the mainstream Americans, they're not preppers. They're not gardeners. They don't know how to grow their own food. So they're entirely dependent on a system that is going to fail them. And when that happens, there's going to be desperation at a level that we have never seen in this country. By the midterms of this year, it's going to be bad, but it's going to get worse after the midterms. And the midterms, probably, if we stay on this current trajectory, the midterms, the GOP is going to get absolutely slaughtered. Marjorie Taylor Greene is correct on this point, in my view. The GOP is going to get slaughtered. It's very likely the Democrats will even take control of the Senate, not just the House. And then beginning in January of next year, Trump is going to be impeached every freaking week. I mean, they're going to vote to impeach him every week. Now, they don't have the votes in the Senate to convict him, probably, but if he continues to get crazier, then they might have the votes to actually convict him. And then that would give us President J.D. Vance. But also, by the way, the Democrats are going to be busy impeaching Hegseth and others. Maybe Marco Rubio. I mean, Hegseth probably will be charged as a war criminal by the ICC at some point, you know, for the things that he has said and done and threatened and actually carried out. So not only, the reason I say this is because not only are we going to be facing domestic desperation in terms of economics and famine and, you know, food banks running out of food, we're going to be facing political upheaval in this country like we probably haven't seen since the 1960s. That's where this is all headed. And you have a preview of what's coming because you watch InfoWars, so you have a heads up more so than almost anybody else in society. Take advantage of that. And we're about to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I will cover some details about what you can do to insulate yourself from what is coming. That's going to be the most critical survival technique of all, is surviving the collapse of how society has functioned our entire lives. So stay with us. I'll be right back. Mike Adams here on The Alex Jones Show.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an InfoWarrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back. Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine, nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of the lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a PFM member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasShow.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at DallasShow.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing. But I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine. And he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones. Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Mike Adams.
All right, welcome back, folks. Mike Adams here for the third hour of the Alex Jones Show, joining you from my studios outside of Austin, Texas. And, you know, we're going to continue on the economic impacts and how to insulate yourself from what's happening economically, because it is a disaster. As I covered in the last segment, it's going to be three times worse than COVID at the current basis of how much the duration of the closure has been for the Strait of Hormuz. As the Strait remains closed, that's going to get worse and worse and worse with each subsequent week. We're going to get into all of that and China, but I also wanted to mention, I'm a nutritionist, and you know, I own a food science lab, and we have recently started testing for dioxins, by the way. So after the East Palestine train accident, which released all the polyvinyl chloride substances on fire, and which drops dioxins all over the farmland, it's bad. After that happened, I committed publicly to purchasing dioxin testing equipment. So I bought a GC, which is a gas chromatography instrument with a triple quad mass spec, and it took us over 2 years to figure out the exact extraction method and everything. But we finally got it going. We've started releasing dioxin results, which is really interesting. But the reason I mention that is because I know a lot about nutrition. It's my main focus. And when I look at products from the Alex Jones store, like the Methylene Red, I'm looking at it right now, and I didn't mention this in the last segment, but I want to bring it up right now. You may not know that the vitamin B12 that's in that formula, which is methylcobalamin, this ingredient by itself, not only, of course, does it support methylation, which means to simplify it, it helps ease the energy burden on your cells as it's doing its job in terms of nutrition. But you may not know this, but that ingredient alone is crazy expensive. Now, I'm just guessing, but I think the last time I looked at the pricing of vitamin B12, it was something like $10,000 per kilogram. I mean, it's insanely expensive. And so the fact that you can get a bottle of this for, what is it, like $22 on the alexjonesstore.com? It's unbelievable. I don't know how they're able to get to these prices. They've also got TMG in there. They've got CoQ10 in there. They've got vitamin B6 and so on. Also another form of folate in the same formula. The Ultra Methylene Red, and it's sweetened by stevia. So stevia, which is great. It's a natural leaf, you know, sweet leaf sweetener. So that is an amazing formula. I'm not making medical claims, but I just want to be clear. If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through the pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. Now, you can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. I never recommend any of that stuff, but Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. So you can support this broadcast and this platform, but really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com, Ultra Methylene Red. That's the methylated form of vitamin B12, so check it out. All right, getting back to my topics here, I want to bring your attention to, let's see, the Pentagon's desperate doomed plan to turn Ford and GM into weapons factories. That's the title of my the second story that I have there on Natural News. If you scroll down, there's another infographic there that I want to bring people's attention to. So it was reported yesterday by the Wall Street Journal that Trump the White House is approaching U.S. automakers and saying, hey, let's see if we can convert your auto factories into weapons factories. So number one, this is a huge red flag that this war is going to be much larger and last much longer. So the plan is that you're going to try to take these car factories that are already behind China in terms of, you know, lack of automation, lack of innovation, lack of battery technology, et cetera. And you're going to try to then churn out weapons because we don't have enough, because we're running out of weapons. Gave a bunch of weapons to Ukraine. They burned them all up fighting Russia. That didn't work. Gave a bunch of weapons to Israel. They used them all bombing, you know, hospitals in Gaza. Gave a bunch of weapons to the Gulf state nations. And they burned them up, especially the air interceptors, trying to stop Iran's incoming drones and missiles. And also that didn't work. And then we've spent weeks bombing Iran, just basically using up whatever munitions were left or close to it. So the panic in the Pentagon and the White House is that we don't have enough weapons remaining and we need to make more stuff. So that's what you're seeing in the middle zone here on this infographic is, oh, let's see if we can make more stuff, more weapons. But the problem with all of this is it's not 1945, folks. It's not the 1950s. The United States of America isn't the industrial base of the world any longer. We were post-World War II. We could make anything. I mean, that's how we won World War II, essentially. We kept making stuff and shipping it over to the Europeans, you know, so they could use it. Or our troops could use it, you know, fighting the Nazis. But we could make ships, all kinds of, you know, supply ships filled with supplies and ammunition and boots and artillery rounds and tanks and everything else. We don't do that anymore. That's long gone. China does that. China makes the robots. China makes the drones. China makes the automobiles. China has the largest GDP in the world, larger than the United States by far at this point. And it's been that way for a couple of years now. But China has the manufacturing automation, which allows China to churn out things like hypersonic missiles at $100,000 each. Whoa, that's a dirt cheap price. The U.S. couldn't build a hypersonic missile for under, you know, $10 million, probably. $100,000 per missile? Yeah, China can do that because they have incredible automation. China can churn out humanoid robots or dog robots, which can be, you know, they can mount rifles on the backs of the dog robots. You've probably seen some of those videos. They can churn those out by the millions if they want to. They can churn out drones, including kamikaze drones, combat drones, by the millions. We can't do that. Now, granted, I love the innovation that we do have with the small companies in America that are still making drones or making, you know, knives or swords or modern weapons. And we still have artisans in America, just not like it used to be. We don't have very many machinists. We don't have people who know how to make things. And when it comes to making ships for the Navy, did you know that China has 200 times more naval shipyard capacity than the United States? 200 times. That's why the U.S. Navy is contracting with South Korea to make some of our ships, because we don't have the ability to make them in America. So Trump going to Ford and saying, hey, Ford, why don't you make, I don't know, armored personnel carriers, let's say. I mean, that's my guess. I don't know what he said exactly, but Or maybe go to GM and say, can you make drones? Can you make artillery shells? Can you make whatever? Here's the problem. And, you know, I own and run a large manufacturing facility. I know about quality control. I mean, our lab is ISO accredited. Our facility is GMP certified, by the way. I know about this stuff. We in America, we don't have a culture of quality. Like Japan, for example, Toyota is a good example of that. There's something called the Toyota way. Japan is meticulous about quality and supply chains. Japan will take every part from every supplier that comes in to make a Toyota, and they will subject that part to laboratory testing. They'll use like ICP-MS, mass spec, with some acid to dissolve a metal part and then get the atomic breakdown of the elements to make sure it's the right amount of nickel. It's the right amount of chromium. You know, Toyota will test everything. And that's why Toyota has quality. Even if it's assembled in America, it's still subject to Toyota's supply chain quality control. which is extensive. And this has actually been much of the great success of Toyota over the years, is its quality. Well, in my view, Ford doesn't have that. You know, the Ford F-150 Lightning was a total joke. I think they even canceled making that electric truck because it completely sucked and it wouldn't tow anything. But there are other manufacturers in America that are just as bad. I mean, I've had these experiences myself. For example, let's take John Deere. It's a beloved American brand. Goes back, you know, what, generations? I mean, my grandfather would go buy John Deere tractors for his farm, and that's how I learned to use tractors, was riding on an old John Deere back in the 1970s. Well, when I went to buy a John Deere compact track loader, because it's a big machine, you can use it for all kinds of ranch products and shredding and you know, moving dirt and things like that, I had only 75 hours on that machine before the entire left driver, the sprocket that drives the tracks, the entire left side of that thing broke off. 75 hours. That's considered almost brand new for a compact track loader. Any of you in construction, you know what I'm talking about. The whole thing broke off. And of course, that was a warranty repair. I had to get John Deere to come out and fix it, which they did. To their credit, they fixed it. And they told me that the cost to fix it was like thousands of dollars. And I said, well, what was the problem? Why did the whole sprocket fall off? They said, well, it looks like nobody tightened the 24 bolts in the factory that hold this thing together. Like, what do you mean they didn't tighten the bolts in the factory? You mean I've been driving around with an untightened sprocket for 75 hours and it just went kerplunk today? And they're like, yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Like, that is an American quality control problem right there. Toyota wouldn't do that. Toyota would tighten the freaking bolts, you know? They would have a checkbox. Who tightened the bolts? What time were the bolts tightened? How many foot-pounds of tightness were on the bolts, you know? And there would be a signature, and there would be a checkbox, and there would be, you know, probably a video camera, like, I saw you tighten the bolts, right? That's Toyota. And increasingly, China is moving in that direction in terms of their own quality as well. In America, at least in my experience, and look, I love my country, but our quality ethic is just not there anymore. In America, it's like, did you tighten the bolts? Yeah, sure I did. And while there's smoke and crack in the back alley, whether they're working at Boeing or John Deere or Ford or wherever, yeah, smoke and crack, and I tighten the bolts. Yeah, in your head, you tighten the bolts, and then it gets shipped, and then the customer gets it, and it just falls apart, which also released a bunch of hydraulic fluid all over my forest floor. that's another story. This is the problem in America. So not only do we already have military weapons that, frankly, largely do not work. Do not work. The F-35 is famous for this. It's a piece of junk, right? Barely flies. The toilets don't work on the USS Gerald R. Ford. You would think that you could build a sewage system because, you know, sewage runs downhill. And you would think you could at least have a sewage system that works. But no. After $15 billion on a floating biosludge hauler now, you can't even get the toilets to work. That's insane. And also, they couldn't get the toilet to work on the Artemis spaceship that reportedly flew around the moon recently. And so the astronauts had to go in their own astronaut diapers. Can you imagine 10 days in an enclosed capsule with like three or four other astronauts all crapping themselves for 10 days and you can't open the windows? Woo, boy, they are heroes for enduring that, let me tell you. Couldn't wait to get back to Earth. Need some fresh air. But we can't make toilets work in this country. It's unbelievable. No matter what the cost, no matter how many billions, they can't make toilets work. Are you telling me that we're going to make weapons now that are going to compete with Russian weapons, the advanced Russian hypersonic missiles, the Kinzhal missiles, the Oreshnik missile system? That is, it's like a generation ahead of anything the U.S. builds. Or what about Russia's, you know, electronic warfare systems or their air defense systems? They're a generation more advanced than anything in the U.S. And in China, it's the same story. Their weapon systems are becoming increasingly capable, far more advanced, swarm technology of drones, while we're still bragging about, oh, we made a drone that can drop a grenade. That might have been news a decade ago. That's not news in 2025 or 2026. I mean, give me a break. So my point is, you can go to Ford and you can say, oh, let's make some weapons. You're going to have to retool the whole factory. You're going to have to somehow find skilled workers, which practically do not exist anymore because we don't have machinists. We don't have very many skilled welders, anything like that. We have a few, but not many. It's a lost skill set for America. So then Ford, in my opinion, will be churning out weapons that don't work, which is pretty much where we are right now. So instead of having no weapons that don't work, we'll have more weapons that also don't work. And that's supposed to be the plan of how to beat China, which brings me to the most important point here. This is all about going to war with China. And the shutting off of oil from Venezuela to China was a key part of this. And now the shutting off of the Strait of Hormuz is to try to interdict oil going to China. Well, China gets oil from a lot of countries, by the way. It's not just out of the Persian Gulf. And also, China is allies with Russia. Russia can provide China with gas and oil. In fact, they have a pipeline that they're building from the Yamal gas fields in northwestern Russia. That pipeline is going to go through Mongolia right into the northern industrial cities of China. And that's going to carry, I think, 50 billion cubic meters of gas to China every year instead of Europe. So Europe's industry is collapsing. China's industry is going to have cheap, affordable, high volume energy to be able to power their factories and power the creation of polymers and chemicals and all of the byproducts of hydrocarbons, which includes everything from resins and adhesives and paints and coatings, everything you can imagine. That's all going to be coming out of China. Plus they have the rare earths. So you're not going to be able to strangle China by cutting off their oil supply. That's a fantasy. You're not going to be able to strangle China. All you're going to do is force China to have new supply chains or to develop more things themselves. For example, we thought in America that we could halt China's advancement in AI technology by banning the export of microchips to China and banning the export of UV lithography equipment out of European countries to China. You know, that's the equipment that you use to make microchips. And we thought, oh, that's great. We're gonna just block China. They'll never be able to make microchips. Yeah, well, the problem with that is China's got a zillion engineers and math experts. And, you know, you saw them in your college class. If you went to college, these are the people that were beating you in all the math classes, right? And they went back to China and then they built the advanced AI systems like DeepSeek, and they built advanced physics and materials engineering. And now they've built UV lithography equipment. Over the next few years, they're going to be rolling that out. China's going to make its own microchips. Huawei has invented amazing microchips that the West didn't think were even possible. So this whole idea of saying, oh, we're going to strangle China and that's how we're going to remain dominant and keep the petrodollar all powerful for the West, it's insanity. It's delusional. It's not going to happen. What you should do is trade with China. You should trade with Russia. You should trade with Iran. If you want to have peace and abundance and a real golden age for America, you should trade with all of these countries around the world instead of bombing them and threatening them and sanctioning them and committing piracy on the high seas by raiding their tanker ships. You know, it's always hilarious to me to hear Marco Rubio or Pete Hegseth talk about, oh, well, that's what they're doing is illegal. But when we do it, it's totally legit. Like when we commit piracy on the high seas or bomb a bunch of boats, that's totally legit. I mean, even J.D. Vance the other day admitted that what Iran has done in blocking the Strait of Hormuz is economic terrorism. And then he said, well, two can play at that game, so we can be economic terrorists too. I mean, they're just openly admitting what they're doing. This is not going to work, folks. It's going to thrust America into poverty and currency collapse. And that's my concern here. So don't misread anything I'm saying here today. I love my country. I love America, and I want it to succeed. And when I'm down on American quality and the insanity of what the Trump administration is doing right now, it's not because I hate my country. It's because I love my country. I want my country to do well. I want the American people to live in abundance and wealth and to have technology and innovation. And the only way to do that at this point is to trade with the world, not to coerce and threaten and bomb the world. I mean, that's my thesis here for today. And we're on the wrong path. That's going to end up with the U.S. being completely impoverished, with the currency collapsing, and the American people dumpster diving for food and living in a third world nation. In fact, if you want to see a preview of what's to come for America, just go to any airport in America. It looks like a collapsed third world airport right now, almost any airport. I mean, it's crazy. When I was living and traveling in South America, I saw a lot of rundown, like, dumpster airports there. Now that's America. You know, the potholes don't get repaired. The bridges can't get fixed. I mean, here we are. What was it? Was it Baltimore when that bridge got torn down or run into by a barge? Where are we? Like a couple of years now, that thing isn't even rebuilt. Where Iran, you know, we bombed that bridge in Iran. That bridge is almost functioning again. Did you know that? They fixed that bridge in days. We can't fix a bridge in years. What's wrong? What happened? What happened to American ingenuity and innovation and the can-do pioneer attitude that made us the greatest country in the world at one time? But now we are a failing empire. And the people running this empire, in my view, are on the wrong path. And we need to strongly encourage them to make a U-turn. You should make peace with Iran. You should divorce AIPAC and Israel that's driving us in the wrong direction on every single policy. You should make peace with Russia and China and Brazil. Make peace with the world. Then reinvigorate our own education system and start churning out the level of engineers and architects and brilliant minds that America has proven itself to be capable of. That's the way that we make America great again. Not by bombing everybody else into oblivion and punishing and sanctioning everybody else, but rather by turning our expenditures and investments domestic so that we invest in the American people. We invest in our own infrastructure. We should have railroads that aren't a total joke of the world. We should have high-speed rail in this country. We don't have any high-speed rail. We have old clickety-clack, practically steam locomotives running around. I mean, it's a joke. Honestly, it's a joke. It's a joke to the whole world what has happened to America. We can still turn it around, but it's going to take some real effort in order to do so. And I don't see any political willingness to be able to do that. Yeah, they're showing a graphic. The S&P 500 rallies to all-time high. Yeah, fake stock market valuations don't create abundance. And manipulation of gold and silver markets, manipulation of oil markets, that doesn't create abundance. So just because you log into a web page and you see numbers on your screen and say, oh, I'm rich because I own this stock, I own this portfolio, and the numbers are higher, that doesn't mean anything when the great taking comes. They just take it from you just like that. You don't own it. You don't even have your name on the shares of those companies. They'll just declare force majeure and take everything. The great taking. There'll be bank bail-ins. And ultimately, they're going to try to switch you over to a CBDC bailout where you give up all your autonomy, your privacy. You know, you give up all your power over your own money by participating in a CBDC system. That's what's coming. So how do you resolve all of this? Decentralize your life. Own gold and silver. Own some private crypto. Not Bitcoin, but privacy-oriented crypto. Grow as much of your own food as you can. Pay off your debts if you can. Don't take on a bunch of new debts. Don't become dependent on the system. Own the title to your house and your land. Have stored diesel because it's becoming extremely valuable. Learn skills. Know how to do things that matter to make yourself more self-reliant, more independent, and resilient against systemic breakdowns that are coming. That's the answer. And that's what I teach every single day. And, well, let me mention this. We've got 50,000 books available that you can download for free at books.brightlearn.ai. You can download all the books for free. We've got 250 audio books that are also free now. Just MP3 files. No DRM, nothing. No copyright protection. Just download and learn. Learn the skills you need. Learn about, you know, how to build things, how to gather sunlight and have your own off-grid energy supply. Learn and grow, and you can make it through all of this. That's my positive message here at the end of today's show. You can make it through, but you have to take action now. Tough times ahead for all Americans. Thanks for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex Jones here. Thank you for watching. God bless you all. Take care.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive. The two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller. Navy blue with red InfoWars on it and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, guest hosting, and you are not going to want to miss this information jam-packed hour. First and foremost, we're going to be wrapping up Bilderberg 2026 1. Count it, 1. Mainstream article came out on Tuesday from Charlie Skelton, who to me is really the only mainstream journalist that has covered this fairly over the past almost two decades. We're also going to talk a little bit about the discrepancies between the leaked list that was about 95% correct and then what Bilderberg put out on their own website. There were a few names that were on that leaked list that were not on the official list, and there are certainly some questions to ask in that regard. Then we're going to go to Ro Khanna, who was just at the National Press Club. And look, I call him like I see him. It's balls and strikes. I probably don't agree on a lot of policy that Ro Khanna puts out there. In fact, in this National Press Club event, he starts talking up Chucky Schumer. No fan of Schumer, but what I don't play is team baseball with the Democrats and the Republicans and the overall narratives out there. And really, Ro Khanna knocks it out of the park, not just talking about the Epstein class, a new gilded age, and commentary on Eric Swalwell. I mean, if you didn't know Swalwell was a creep by looking at him, even watching him in the Democratic primary debates when he's talking about dirty diapers and babies, I mean, Fang Fang, everybody, if you didn't know, again, I don't understand. I don't get how anybody could not realize that guy is a total and complete sleazeball, but it also really speaks to this predator class, this Epstein class, how they all knew this. All right. It's only when he stepped out of bounds, tried to take a little too much political power in a place where he wasn't endorsed by that same class, and all of a sudden, a video leaks out of him in a hotel room grabbing on what seems to be a call girl. And again, if you think that's shocking behavior, if you don't think Swalwell has done, like, things that are 20 times worse than that, again, you're being extremely naive. We're also going to talk about some of the Johnny nonsense surrounding Jeffrey Epstein and what to me is a meme at this point, because it is a meme. The idea that Epstein is alive, and I know a lot of people want to hold on to the fantastical, and this is the stuff that constantly goes viral, Palm Beach Pete, not Epstein, everybody, not even close. Okay, if you saw how old Epstein actually was when he got arrested in 2019, go take a better look at the mugshot. I mean, not only would you have had to do, you know, certain facial surgery, I mean, you would have probably had to do, you know, some type of a facelift. He's not Palm Beach Pete, everybody. The fake pictures of him in Tel Aviv with a beard that went around the world and viral, the phony video of Ghislaine Maxwell not being in prison. That's the stuff that goes super mega viral. Ask yourself why that is. When we have hardcore information on Epstein, this network, how it integrates into Bilderberg, which we discussed last time on this program, how Epstein was literally via his surrogate, Leslie Groff, and his other high-level surrogates, because that's what Mandelson was directing Mandelson and others to the script for Bilderberg. And even PR companies that were working with Epstein knew the power of Bilderberg. Yet, does the mainstream know about this meeting? Do they understand massive arms deals were just cut? Massive. I mean, massive deals on where this war goes from here were just made via NATO, the banking systems, the military-industrial complex, artificial intelligence, and the media. Full stop. That actually just happened, and no one seems to be talking about it. So we're going to delve into that and beyond. It's the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Go support the broadcast. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Get the supplements, and we'll be back after this.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
And we are back. It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes, and we're going to get into Bilderberg 2026, held in D.C., okay, the earliest it has been held in my lifetime. It's not since, I believe, the late 60s that was held this early in April. My entire lifetime, it has been from the beginning of May all the way back to the end of June. And for some reason, they moved it on up. Now, there were three names that really caught my attention. Now, maybe they attended Bilderberg, maybe they didn't. But they were on that list. Now, as I showed when going over the Epstein-Bilderberg documents, it seemed like Mandelson had about a 6-7 week window where he knew when he was going to Bilderberg, that time in Chantilly, Virginia. I believe that was in 2012. And when he could visit Epstein just prior. So to me, you know, these annual meetings, you at least have that 6 week, maybe 2 month window. Now, if in fact somebody like Peter Thiel, who was on the leaked list, not on the official list, really didn't go, okay, Alex Karp, we know, went there, seen there the whole nine, his surrogate, Palantir forever, right? If he really didn't go there, then maybe they did move this up suddenly. Maybe it was really scheduled for May or June, and they moved it up and he couldn't go. Now, I also think, who was it, Rishi Sunak, they were on the leaked list, didn't appear on the official list. Okay. So again, that would suggest that. But somebody that was on that leaked list that wasn't on the official list, I really have to wonder whether they just wanted their name taken off, and that'd be Scott Bessent. Okay? On the leaked list, obviously in D.C., in that area, unless there was some kind of conflict between Thursday and Sunday, and really the meat and potatoes is Friday and Saturday, right? I'm not sure why he didn't make it. So, Skelton put out the Guardian, to their credit, London Guardian is the only one that covered it. If somebody wants to send me another mainstream article, I'd love to see it. I didn't see it on NBC, CBS, MSN Now, okay? Not Fox News, none of it. I didn't, by the way, Newsmax might have missed it. OAN might have missed it as well. They might be a little bit better in some people's eyes, but I don't know how you miss this one. The power brokers of the Anglo-American-Israeli-Saudi alliance. Right there in your face. Meeting in secret over the most important subjects, not only today and surrounding these geopolitical conflicts, but into the future of artificial intelligence, automation, and yes, transhumanism. By the way, if you want to give me a follow on X, a heavily censored platform, all of them are, guys. I hate to tell you. Like, this isn't freedom of speech land. As I stated earlier in the week when I was on the war room, we broke the chains this week on Monday. We got rid of the stupid blue check mark. Have my analytics changed at all? Nope. I was getting no boost, no reply boost. Same numbers. In fact, I mentioned to everybody that I was on the cusp of 50,000 followers, and I would get that through this platform, a true free speech platform. No one tells me what to say. Nobody asks me, hey, Jason, what are you going to be talking about today? Maybe we don't want to go in that direction. No, none of that. I am off the cuff. There's no script. So I would assume we'll probably get another 100, 200 followers. And this is where, again, you might not see my stuff. You might have to actually go directly to /Jason Burmis. But this is where a lot of the stuff I talk about is in the raw. So you don't have to hear me talk about it or any of it. You get to see the baseline documentation. And that's where you can find this right here. And we're going to read it. Skelton, again, nails it. This one's probably one of his shorter pieces on the matter. But I think that has a lot to do with the fact that there was literally no coverage. None. I was so glad to see that he actually published this on Tuesday, because he's usually publishing over the weekend of the actual event. So let's read it top to bottom. This year's conference had plenty of newsworthy aspects, but it's a mystery why the press fails to talk about it. I guess it might not be a mystery when you realize that Warner Brothers, Spotify, CNN Twice, Bloomberg, The Economist, I believe the Financial Times, The Atlantic, all there. All A.N. Applebaum, A. Fareed Sagaria, all of them there. You know, what are they doing there? They're setting narrative perimeters. That's what they're doing there. Okay? So let's go down it. The 72nd meeting of the Bilderberg Group, the elite and secretive policy conference that is the longtime subject of endless conspiracy theories, was held at the weekend in Washington, D.C. A security cordon went up around the opulent Salamander Hotel for the notoriously media-shy summit, which was packed, as ever, with prime ministers, military leaders, tech billionaires, and the heads of giant investment companies. Also the media, guys. I mean big-time media. Bilderberg, which since the 1950s has been the intellectual engine room of NATO, took place this year at a time of immense crisis and uncertainty for the alliance in recent weeks, with Trump threatening at every turn to withdraw the paper tiger of NATO. I got news for you. That ship has sailed. We ain't leaving NATO. That's imagination land. You know, that's Trump posturing. I want to make that extremely clear. If we really thought we were leaving NATO, we could have done so before the cocaine train. Remember that? The blow train? When he said he was going to come in, old Donnie T, and he was going to get rid of that pesky Ukraine-Russia conflict before even being sworn into office the second time. You could say it sailed then, but by the time all those guys are on the happy sauce, nose candy style, And I know you've seen the videos. You tell me it's a tissue all day. Okay, sure. Sure. Wait till we get into Justin Trudeau and the story you don't know about that. Gives you an insight into who these people are. We ain't leaving NATO, okay? The Transatlantic Defense Industrial Relationship, as it's called on the agenda, has reached a strained breaking point. That's the military-industrial complex, which is really the media military-industrial complex at this point. That's what Transatlantic Defense Industrial Relationship means. The head of NATO and Bilderberg regular, Mark Rutte, arrived at the conference fresh from a very frank conversation at the White House, but away from Trump's bluster and for all the rhetoric about abandoning NATO, there were no signs that the Americans are withdrawing from Bilderberg. Far from it. The Americans were there in force. You bet your arnis they were. Wall Street titans, including the CEOs of KKR and Lazard and the heads of huge corporations like Pfizer, met behind closed doors with a delegation of senior politicians close to the president. Big business lobbying in private of Bilderberg's is Bilderberg's specialty. And the secretive mix of the private and public sectors fits perfectly with the Trump's brand of crony capitalism. That is correct. Give Charlie a prize. Nailed it. Trump's trusted Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, was attending, alongside his favorite trade guru, Robert Lighthizer. They were joined by Trump's economic ally, Jason Smith. That's the Missouri congressman I didn't know much about. Charlie knew a little more about him. The chair of the influential House Ways and Means Committee. And the Secretary of the Army, Dan Driscoll, known as Trump's drone guy. And remember, drones are ever more apparent as a means of not only warfare overseas, but security, surveillance, and domination across the world. I mean, I know Lucky Palmer, Anduril, for those that don't know those guys, he's in a Hawaiian suit. He created the Oculus. He used to work at Meta. He's no big deal on that guy. Most people don't even know who the guy is. Okay? And he's all drone warfare. And they got cash rolling out for that guy. And he's at UFC events. Right? And look, man, I love me. This last weekend's card at UFC was badass. But, you know, I got to acknowledge, you want to get the public into, you know, bread and circuses. I mean, a lot of people were watching the UFC. How many people were talking about Bilderberg? That's all. Same weekend. Bilderberg probably a little bit more important. I'll concede to that. Okay? Just saying. It was no surprise with the conflict in Iran dominating the global news cycle that this year's conference had a wartime flavor, with the future of warfare on the agenda and a participant list, including the four-star Admiral Samuel Paparo, head of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. From the private sector, there was a healthy contingent of military contractors and drone manufacturers, led by the Bilderberg's insider, Eric Schmidt, who's the former head of Google and keen evangelist for what? Drone warfare. Earlier this year, Schmidt told the Financial Times that future wars are going to be defined by unmanned weapons with swarms of drones operated remotely and increasingly automated with AI targeting. Thriving in this rich overlap between drones and AI are companies like Anduril Industries. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, of course they are. Whose co-founder and CEO, Brian Schimpf, is attending the Washington conference. I don't know that Lucky's kind of the face. I don't know that he's ever been there. He may have. They may have had him there at least once at this point. But Anduril is a new name that you should definitely be aware of. Most people are not. Alongside the collaborator in Trump's Golden Dome project, Palantir's CEO, Alex Karp. Yes, the Golden Dome. Sorry, we're not in the Golden Age anymore, everybody. If you really were buying into that new Golden Age, I'm sorry. We are in a new Gilded Age. That's the reality. A Gilded Age in which they want to reign from a techno-feudalistic top-down society of command and control. Karp is close to fellow billionaire tech bro Peter Thiel, whose name remarkably is absent from this year's participant list. Again, on the leaked list, not on the official list. And to me, that probably means Thiel actually wasn't there, that they moved it up that he had a conflict. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. It's called being a human being, having some humility. Let's continue down. Thiel has been a member of the group's steering committee since 2008, almost 20 years now, and it is unheard of for him to miss a Bilderberg. Thiel's reach runs deep into the Trump administration, and his influence within Bilderberg has also been growing through the years. Through the American Friends of Bilderberg, he largely funds the lavish Washington-based meetings alongside fellow steering committee member and billionaire Schmidt. See, it's potato, patata, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. You got your right guy, your libertarian guy on one end with Thiel, and then you got Schmidt on the other end of the lefty. Think it matters? No. I'm sorry, it doesn't. And look, Thiel backstabbed the first Trump administration when he was the Secretary of Technology. He wouldn't come out and say anything about the election. No one's saying anything about the machines. Forget about the mail-in ballots and all the other Johnny nonsense. He tried to fix that? Nope, he abandoned Trump during that time period. And for whatever reason, I think he saw the writing on the wall, especially after they didn't shoot, you know, Trump through the head. Boy, what a different world we would be in. And not necessarily a better one, guys. I just want to let everybody know, God knows what would have happened if that bullet went straight through his dome. Just want to say, I think after that, I mean, that's when the podcast train starts happening. That's when Thiel's on Rogan and all of a sudden J.D. Vance is there too. And, you know, the coup de grace is Trump just a couple days before the election. They're on Theo Vaughn and all these other podcasts. That wasn't Barron, everybody. I'm not saying Barron's a dumb kid. Probably what happened was Theo's putting this all into place. Trump has a conversation with his son, and Barron's like, yeah, no, that's actually a really good idea. That these are the new media outlets, and that's why Spotify is there, right? Talk about all about narrative management and control, period. Okay? That's how they make you think that Eric Schmidt and Peter Thiel are like on different sides of the table. Not like, no. Thiel operates in the powerful liminal area between big finance and big intelligence. Notably, he set up Palantir with the help of funding from the Central Intelligence Agency. The shady intersection was the birthplace of Bilderberg and is baked into its history. The group was set up by British and American intelligence. And there's always been a handful of spy chiefs at the conference. This year, three intelligence directors were present, including the head of MI6, Blaise Metriwal. It is a fascinating backstage world, which Thiel will now miss, along with the strategizing, the talent spotting, and the big ideological discussions on China and the West. It was no small thing for the arch networker Thiel to skip Bilderberg. After all, Bilderberg is all about the chance to stay three steps ahead with all that lovely off-the-books access to policymakers, such as breakfast with the president of Finland, tea with the head of the IMF, and cocktails with the king of Holland. Quite why the press fails so spectacularly to talk about Bilderberg, such a major annual summit with so many senior politicians present, is an enduring mystery. This year's conference had plenty of newsworthy aspects, not the least the presence of Vivian Motzfeldt, the former Greenlandic foreign minister and ex-speaker of the Inistrand, Greenland's parliament. I'm going to butcher it. Motzfeldt was the first Greenlander to appear at Bilderberg, and her presence was a clear signal to the Trump administration that Greenland has powerful allies within this transatlantic partnership. Motzfeldt no doubt contributed to the session on Arctic security and might even have moved to a quote, the final sentence of Trump's recent anti-NATO event. Remember Greenland, that big, poorly run piece of ice. But as there was no oversight at this conference by the press, it is something that we will probably never know. So Skelton, just top of his game here, guys. Top of his game. Really need to go check that out. So I want to move on from the Bilderberg to Epstein and the Epstein class. We're going to play a couple of clips here from Ro Khanna at the National Press Club. At first, he kind of just addresses the press, and then he does like a sit down with one of them. This is him in his initial like 15-minute address to the press This is just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes of Ro Khanna really stating the obvious, and the obvious to anybody that's paying attention to what true populism is. This is who he is appealing to.
And nothing encapsulates this sense of injustice more than what I call the Epstein class. This is a group of elites who operate outside the law. When people see powerful men abusing and trafficking young girls without consequence, it shakes something fundamental. They have seen the callousness, immaturity, hedonism, venality, rootlessness, and immorality of our governing class.
By the way, you notice how he almost said immortality? That's because the system that's been set up of this predator class, of these oligarchs, not only feels like it is immortal, as many of them have reigned for generations, but then you've got guys like Epstein who were trying to become immortal through transhumanism, through cloning. Okay, that's real. That's in the files. All right? So whether Ro actually knew it or not, that little slip-up wasn't much of a slip-up.
People who chose being part of a network instead of speaking up against the abuse of young girls. And many are asking themselves, if these elite can get away with that, what can't they get away with? They see elite indifference and impunity has led to wealth piling up in the hands of a few in a few places, while the vast majority of this country has faced stagnation and struggling for economic security. Workers and communities have been treated as dispensable, just like these young girls were in the Epstein matter. Fortunes have been built on a foundation of offshoring jobs, automating plants, liquidating companies, buying back stock, and of course, harvesting all of our data. Consider this. 19 billionaires hold over $3 trillion in wealth, 12.5% of our entire economy. This is three times the concentration of the Gilded Age, where we had Rockefeller, Vanderbilt, Morgan, and Carnegie.
I'm going to stop it right there. Can you argue with that? I mean, think about that. Anybody a fan of the Rockefellers? You know, one of the things that is going to be in my upcoming Epstein Files documentary is the love affair, apparently, between Jeffrey Epstein, who got put on the board of Rockefeller, and his relationship with David, who he's a wonderful human being. That's quite the endorsement from our good buddy, Jeffrey Epstein, isn't it? It's a quite the endorsement. Okay. And meanwhile, we're going to come back to Ro Khanna in a minute because he gets asked about Pam Bondi and the Epstein files and the fact that basically, you know, Bondi thinks she's above the law. You know, she denied coming in, right? And we'll see. They may make her come in just like they made Wexner come in, just like they made the Clintons come in. Still waiting on Gates. We've been hearing about Gates next. But he nails it when talking about, you know, the 3 million plus files, and he even talks about Swalwell and Leon Black. I mean, absolutely nails it. But you know what I didn't see? I didn't see headlines with that. Instead, I saw headlines like this one, okay? Elon Musk's father insists Epstein is alive, and it's absurd to think that he's dead. See, it's absurd to think he's dead. First of all, from what I've seen, Errol Musk, horrible human being. Just, I mean, absolutely not a good person. And look, I've had my problems with the Musker do, and I still do. You look at his parents, and you look at the way he acts, and you cannot tell me that guy didn't succumb some kind of traumatic abuse. Now, I'm not saying it was of a sexual nature, et cetera, but so many of these guys, I mean, Thiel's another one. I look at his mannerisms, the way he asks, some type of abuse is there. All right. But people will take the word of Errol Musk, who like married his stepdaughter. Whoa. Among other things, because they want to believe, like I said in the very beginning, all the fantastical. Here's a shot of Epstein's arm, the supposedly not dead Epstein, well, he's dead. And anybody can go check, you know, the 60 Minutes out, and I get it. You don't believe 60 Minutes, but if 60 Minutes has the coroner's photographs and there seems to be an injection mark on his arm, weird, right? Amongst other things, other people have it as well, right? And we'll just scroll through. And then on top of the photographs supposedly not being real, like that's supposedly not Epstein, believe me, they go through quite a few of the graphic ones. Then you have multiple coroners that are at odds with each other that supposedly didn't conduct these autopsies like Baden, which I totally believe he did. Oh, yeah, and then there's that whole thing where Epstein's brother and lawyer claimed that the first suicide attempt, I don't know why they wouldn't have just extracted him then if they extracted him, right? That he was actually strangled by now a convicted crooked cop and quadruple murderer, Nicholas Tartaglione. Don't know if it happened. Know the claims, but no. Epstein's alive somewhere. Give me a break. We're going to come back. More Ro Khanna on The Alex Jones Show, speaking the truth after this.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them.
Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them. I developed them. High quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
And we are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. By the way, classic video right there, Land of Confusion, one of my favorites. It kind of spooked me as a kid. But certainly stands the test of time. Might want to go check that out at some point. Look, we're going to get to Ro Khanna in a moment, talking about the Epstein class, talking about the cover-up. But first, you know, I want to really hammer home this point about how people just fall in love with the fantastical that has no basis in reality. Okay, I've just got to put that out there because it's so important. Now, you look at Khanna sitting here at the National Press Club. Again, should have been national news. But instead, look over to the right here. See this? A mortician explains why this photo doesn't make sense. That's not what the headline used to be. And it's got the goofy, like, circle around Epstein's eyes. 2.4 million views in 3 months, okay? Now, the actual, there's two videos of this, by the way. 60 Minutes put two separate videos of it. One with, like, Epstein's face that's totally gruesome. I couldn't show here. I mean, we could show it on InfoWars. 6 years ago, that's 3 months, 2.4 million views, 1.4 million, so just a million shy in a much longer time period. And then on top of that, the 60 Minutes other piece is not in the recommendation feed from YouTube. That should tell you all you need to know about narrative management. Now, let's have Ro Khanna tell you what's up with those blacked out Epstein files.
What do you want to ask her? What don't you know yet about the Epstein files?
Well, I don't know a lot. I don't know why the 3 million files that have been held have been so blacked out. Why the redactions took place in March, where a lot of the names that were mentioned of people who were abusers, who raped young girls, why those are all blacked out. And even members of Congress can't see them. They claim, oh, this is to protect survivors. But you don't need to blank out 3 million pages of documents just to protect survivors' names. That would be the first question. Why aren't they releasing the actual documents where most of the people are named who raped and abused these girls? The second thing I don't know is why she refused to meet with survivors. You know, why not meet with survivors' lawyers? Just from protecting yourself, if I were attorney general, I would say, well, let me get the survivors groups in. Let's have a process that the survivors lawyers agree to so that if there are any honest mistakes, we could have had the survivors buy in and I wouldn't get blamed. But they refused to meet any of the survivors lawyers. They refused to sit down with the survivors. Why? Third, why are they not starting investigations in a criminal matter with people with serious allegations like Les Wexner, like Leon Black? You know, I was asked recently about the very disturbing allegations against Congressman Swalwell and how do I square that with the Epstein class? And I said there needs to be accountability, whether you're a member of Congress or whether you raped or abused allegedly girls on Epstein's Island. But there's the Manhattan DA is within days opened up an investigation into Congressman Swalwell. And yet for years, we don't have a single investigation into Leon Black and into Les Wexner. Why? Why is there no investigation? How powerful are these people that you've not opened up a single investigation for prosecution of the people mentioned in the Epstein files?
I think all valid points, all valid questions. And really to answer the Swalwell thing again, he stepped out of line. So now I want to talk, I want to move on just a little bit, although this really does talk about that political Epstein class, okay, and how they are constantly protecting did by the press, unless, again, they step out of line. Justin Trudeau doesn't step out of line. Sure, he can't get enough of wearing blackface, right? That's a real thing. Kind of wild that, you know, not only did he, you know, want to be the black-faced Aladdin, but there's that video of him where you talk about stereotypes. The guy stuffed like a snake down his pants in full blackface at some like rich kid's getaway and resort. Okay. I mean, nobody seems to bring up any of that. So, I'm a dick-a-dick-a-doing before the show, and just randomly, I see this report that he's been accused, Justin Trudeau, of having CP, that's child abuse, images or video, on his devices, aka his phone. Whoa, haven't heard this one. Haven't heard this one. And apparently, this author that spent some time in these circles, he wrote a book called Trudeau's Kitchen, is now suing the Toronto Star, and he names the journalist, because they gave him information that they knew that Trudeau had, this material and was being investigated for security reasons on his phone. Not hearing this anywhere. Now, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but then you see the time periods that coincide with these allegations and him stepping down. Now, he was already immensely unpopular, but, you know, something to look at, right? Something to pay attention to, nowhere. So let's speak to a little narrative management here. I type in just Justin Trudeau CP allegation, nothing else. And Google, the lords of narrative management, they just totally say that they say that this stem, they totally lie is what they do. That's, they're liars. Okay, AI is a liar, period, full stop. It's not hallucinating. It is programmed to lie to you on behalf of the great narrative of the day. That's it. So to show and articulate, this is why you got to know what you're actually doing and asking AI. So again, look what I typed, Justin Trudeau CP allegation. Okay, what's the first sentence? Primarily surface, information regarding a 2018 groping allegation. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Not stemming from an incident in 2000. No, it doesn't. And all of it, it says, is a disinformation and misinformation campaign. Okay. So you say, oh, from the mainstream or authoritative news source. I didn't ask you for that. So they get into the groping allegations and the disinformation and false claims. And the AFP, again, never, you see, this is in 2020, reported on a disinformation campaign likely linked to Trudeau to, you know, and nothing else. There was no evidence of this. No evidence, supposedly. Okay. And again, they just tell you he's not the prime minister anymore and he resigned in March of 2025, blah, 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 blah. And I go, well, what about the book Trudeau's Kitchen? See, I knew where this came from. All right. Really easy. Oh, now there are legal allegations. Okay. Recent headlines involving the book center around a lawsuit filed by Jeff Brown that specifically mentions the child exploitation material allegations you previously asked about. Then why didn't you say that from the beginning? He's got a lawsuit against the Toronto Star. Okay. And by the way, you notice they protect the journalist's name in this one, but we'll just go back here because it's right here, Robert Cribb. Okay. But we'll get back to narrative management in a minute. We'll go back right here. You notice I typed in, and this is the news that Google feeds me, Trudeau Toronto Star lawsuit. It starts with Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau at Coachella. There's one article right here, and at least it's there, you know, at least they gave it to the second one, talking about the child abuse material, but that's it. It's nowhere else. Now they don't even want to, and you know, there's more out there. And all this is going back like almost, you know, a year plus, has nothing to do with that. By the way, Katy Perry, also some allegations of her and sexual assault this week that seemed pretty damn credible to me. Doesn't shock me. By the way, again, you see who Katy Perry's been around in her lifetime, who she's had relationships with. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that, folks, but you can look into it. So look, it looks like in 2021, again, nothing to do with 2020. Or anything it told you before. Okay? An investigative journalist at the Star told him that RCMP had discovered child abuse material on Justin Trudeau's personal devices while monitoring them for security threats. Okay? So, all I know is this information's out there, and I'm not seeing it anywhere else, and Google and all the rest are lying to you about it. Now, let's talk a little bit more about narrative control and what's going on in the Middle East. Okay? Now, I think I mentioned this on the War Room. Does Palestine even exist at this point? And believe it or not, the New York Times has this video out there that we're gonna get to in a minute that's actually telling you the truth. I don't know much about Ezra Klein, but it's like an 8-minute video. I doubt we'll get to all of it, but every point he hits seems to be true. Okay? So, if you haven't seen this image yet, I saw this, and I saw basically prominent Israelis and others saying it was AI and it was fake, and this guy's not wearing the right IDF outfits and all this other stuff. So I'll actually read this from this rabbi and what he has to say about this image right here of an IDF soldier in a further settlement zone. So in other words, they're taking their land and like laughing and smiling as he films this woman who's being driven from her already decimated homeland. Okay? So either it's real or not. I just want to make that clear. Okay? So the guy says this. Italy's magazine, El Press Online, publishing anti-Semitic Der Strummer worthy imagery should clarify where they got this image from. The military vest worn here is no longer, he doesn't even spell that right, no longer in use by the IDF. The wedding ring and bracelet are never worn by ultra-Orthodox men. The formation of the beard and kippah are outlandish. And of course, the very bizarre smile showing teeth are unnatural. Really? Because here's the video of it being very, very natural. There he is. It's very real. There he is smiling. There he is taping. So again, is this real? Or am I having a fever dream? I haven't seen any retractions. I haven't seen anything about it. Okay. And, you know, right now, like there's backlash and there's some kind of diplomatic, it's real. So either I can present the truth or I can't present the truth. All right, now I'm going to hit you with something very real as it gets. All right. I've got some leaked footage of Lindsey Graham after a successful drone bombing and killing of a church school combo of innocent civilians. This is what Lindsey Graham actually does. It's 100% real. This is how Lindsey Graham acts when those things occur.
She's got style, she's got face, she's a winner. She's a lady. She's a lady. Talking about that little lady. And the lady is mine.
Look at him lick those lips, huh? Lovely lady Lindsey Graham. Every single time. Innocents are killed. Hell, that's just him when he reminisces on the United States dropping bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or maybe the Dresden campaign. That's Lindsey loves it. Can't get enough. By the way, if you're watching this on the replay on my YouTube, yes, I had to take out the audio of the Tom Jones song, She's a Lady. Documentary footage, everybody. That Lindsey Graham. Now, this is real, okay? And, again, this is Ezra Klein essentially explaining to people, and again, I asked the question, does Palestine even exist at this point? I don't know that it does. You know, you look at just the occupation, and I know there's so many people out there talking about a two-state solution. I'd love to believe in fairy tales and unicorns too, but the reality is this, okay? Israel's one-state reality, and I'm just going to have Ezra Klein break it down.
I've been trying to think about how to begin this episode, which is a very, very tricky one. And I found myself thinking about a debate I heard a lot in 2023 and 2024. You would hear these chants and see these signs. From the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. And it flared into this huge controversy.
Free Palestine from the river to the sea means get rid of all the Jews.
No, from the river to the sea means the land in between is free. Everyone in between is free.
This is a genocidal chant.
What was always so strange to me, so backwards about this focus on college campus protesters, was that there was this reality people weren't really admitting, that there is one power from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. That power, that sovereign, which if you travel in that area, and I have, is just visually undeniable, is Israel. American politics has not grappled really at all with the level of day-to-day domination that Israel exerts over Palestinian lives and the complete absence of any horizon at all for that to end. And this was true before October 7th. In early 2023, the political scientists Michael Barnett, Nathan Brown, Mark Lynch, and Shibley Talhami published an edited volume called The One State Reality. Their argument, which they also made in a very controversial foreign affairs piece, was that, quote, Palestine is not a state in waiting, and Israel is not a democratic state incidentally occupying Palestinian territory. All the territory west of the Jordan River has long constituted a single state under Israeli rule, where the land and the people are subject to radically different legal regimes, and Palestinians are permanently treated as a lower caste.
Can you argue with that? Is that arguable? I mean, nailing it. Even prior to October 7th. All right, think about this. October 7th absolutely led. I mean, they've wait till you hear how much more land they have after October 7th. But that's why we have Iran. That is why we have Lebanon right now. That's why if we allow these maniacs to continue, we're not only going to have global warfare, but these guys are going to be chomping at the bit for pieces of Egypt and Syria as well. Guaranteed, everybody. 1,000%.
What they were saying then is that the hope of a two-state solution in the future had become a way many in America particularly avoided reckoning with the one-state reality of the present. That reality was not accidental. It is not intended to be transient. It was being etched into the land in stone and cement, in settlements and checkpoints, in the construction of walls and the demolition of homes. That might have been a controversial claim when they made it. What has happened since October 7th has made it an undeniable reality. Israel now occupies more than half of Gaza. The more than 2 million Gazans have been herded into less than half of the land they formerly occupied. And Gaza, it should be said, was already one of the most overcrowded places on earth.
Again, how do you argue with these things? I know terrorism, Hezbollah. Look, that place has been leveled. I don't know. Like, is that like one of the true legacies of the Trump administration, that when we get to the end of this, in a little over 2 years, that Palestine just, everyone, Israel's going to get wiped off the map. Israel shouldn't exist. Never said those things, don't believe in those things, but they try to label somebody bringing attention to this as that. All right, no, looks like Palestine is being completely and totally obliterated and taken off the map. Just like, you know, Apple in their maps, these towns in Lebanon, these areas, they no longer need to be labeled. No.
The conditions Gazans now live in, they're hellish. And there is no near term. There's no imagined. There's no envisioned relief. This is and it remains collective punishment. Hamas, not the children of Gaza, attacked Israel on October 7th. The conditions the children of Gaza now live in are not, they're not moral. In the West Bank, Israel has choked off money to the Palestinian Authority.
And by the way, you know, forget about the history of Hamas and how really it was Israeli leadership that created them, thinking they were going to be able to keep them on a chain and have this controllable enemy, right? Forget about all that. October 7th stinks to high hell. If that's not at least a lie hop, you know, with other operatives in a standout, I mean, I don't know, man. Sure looks that way to me, feels that way to me. They came in on hang gliders, for God's sakes. Like, nobody's alone. No Air Force. Nowhere near the military might of the Israelis. Ben Swan's done, you know, epic pieces on it. That's the one, you know, again, there are always levels to this and layers. You're not going to see Ezra Klein ask that question, but it's a question we should be asking. Right? Especially from an extremely corrupt Netanyahu regime that had been voted out of office, came back into office, was still being investigated for massive corruption as he is today, and just no accountability.
It has built settlements, chosen to build settlements at a record pace. More settlements were approved in the last year alone than in the two decades before combined. Israel has allowed, has protected a terrifying rise in settler violence and military violence towards the Palestinians. There is no doubt, if you go there, who rules the West Bank, and it is not the PA. When Netanyahu signed a recent settlement project, a project the United States had opposed for a long time because it would effectively bisect the West Bank, making a Palestinian state physically unimaginable, Netanyahu made clear that that was exactly why he was signing it. He said, we are going to fulfill our promise. There will be no Palestinian state. This place belongs to us. In the north, Israel has used the war in Iran as cover to invade Lebanon, displacing more than 1 million people, and suggesting that up to 600,000 will not be allowed to return to their homes until Israel has established its security zone, whatever that proves to be.
They're not going 600,000? Are you out of your mind? Again, I don't know another word. That's why J.D. Vance had a poorly attended TPUSA event while stumbling over his words via the Epstein files, you know, has those Thiel connections after all, right? After stumbling over his words there, they're yelling out about genocide. And you could sit there and act like, well, don't become unpolitically engaged over one issue. Yeah, the issue is the death, the slaughter, the maiming of innocent women and children. Sorry, not getting off that horse, no matter how high you think I'm on it. Okay? I am truly on team humanity, and I don't like people that are slaughtered overseas, despite the fact I don't speak their language or don't adhere to their culture. Especially the children. Man, that upsets me. I saw more damn dead kids in my feed. I saw dead bodies just being treated. Again, I got cold chills just thinking about that gross that I can't get out of my head. You know, I've got a little over a minute left in the broadcast. If you want to see the rest of that, you know, you just type in Israeli one state. New York Times. Kudos to them, for putting that out, and kudos to Ezra Klein for that. And that's the thing. It's just like 60 Minutes. It's not like I trust 60 Minutes, right? It's not like I trust the New York Times, but you got to have discernment. You got to be able to go out to every single media outlet, independent or otherwise, hear and see what they have to say, cross-reference that with publicly available information, and then use that God-given discernment. You know, I heard Harrison kind of say it yesterday that ignorance is bliss. No, it ain't. Sorry. Ignorance is weakness. You should not want to be ignorant. You should want to be informed. And the more information you have, the better set you are to protect yourself and your family. This is True Free Speech TV. Give me a follow over at X, where I don't know that that is free speech. And remember, it's not about left or right. Always about right and wrong. Support Alex Jones. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Get the products, get the hats, get the t-shirts, get the supplements.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight now.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. It's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.